Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
The internet is full of half-truths and all-out lies. We've all seen them, and many people on social media complaining about it. Here's your chance to show improve. WorldAfropedia.com is a black-owned and operated encyclopedia. There are several thousand articles, but we need help. We can't uncover all the truth ourselves. So please, join us and become a writer, editor, or blogger for WorldAfropedia.com today. Every little bit counts. We owe it to the future generations to put the truth out there. Visit WorldAfropedia.com, the African-centered encyclopedia, a global database of African knowledge for the purpose of bringing about global African wisdom and understanding. WorldAfropedia.com.
In Ashburn tonight, wait until you hear this. A couple left a local Mexican restaurant without tipping their waitress, even after complimenting her service. And then they left behind a racist message on the receipt. As Mike Carter-Kanin reports, those two customers are not getting the last word.
Great service, but I don't tip black people.
That was the note scrawled on the bottom of a bill at Anita's Mexican restaurant in Ashburn on Saturday morning.
Shocker.
Kelly Carter says it was left with no gratuity by a 20-something white man and woman to whom she had served breakfast.
I'm appalled. This is so disheartening.
Her boss says Carter is a loyal employee and beloved by her customers.
Her philosophy for customer service is way beyond the norm, and we're really happy to have her.
Carter says they were like any other customers, acted no differently, no indication they were unhappy with her for any reason. She says the female customer even complimented the food.
And the lady was telling me that she loves the Popeye meal.
Carter did not ask for all this attention. It was two of her regular customers, outraged by the incident, who posted the photo on Facebook. And in one day, it's been shared nearly 900 times. The local chapter of the NAACP is also spreading the word. Hearing about the incident, the restaurant's owner says customers are now requesting Carter as their server, or just stopping by to give her hugs and give her money.
People are just coming in, dropping cash off.
Despite the hateful message, Carter still showed up for her shift Sunday at 6 a.m., and she makes clear she's not going to let this bother her.
He didn't hurt me. He only hurted himself. He only makes us stronger.
In fact, she says if those customers were to come back, she would even serve them again.
Just me serving them will let them know they did not get the best of me.
In Ashburn, Mike Carter-Kanin, ABC 7 News.
Another one of the big things, and again, two-faced racism. Whites in the backstage and front stage. Two thumbs up from Gus T. Renegade. Excellent, excellent book. Another thing that jumped out at me, you talked about, these elaborate codes that white people refine and produce to talk about racism, both backstage and front stage, when they are even around other non-white people so that they can talk about racism unbeknownst to the non-white people that are present. And you talked about how this is especially developed in restaurant settings. I know I have a lot of non-white people. They work in the restaurant industry. Can you talk about some of these elaborate codes that have been developed, what the purpose for these codes is, and how they operate, particularly in restaurant settings?
Yes. Leslie Pickup, my co-author on the book, has worked as a waitress in many restaurants as a white, young white female. And she's watched many of her colleagues use this kind of code language that seems to be part of the colorblind era that we're in, where most whites want to be seen in positive terms and as virtuous, unlike probably their parents and grandparents, many of them, who were openly racist. in public at least, in whites today, want to be seen as colorblind and not racist. They know being racist is a bad thing. So they go into these code languages, and restaurant workers, waiters, waitresses, hosts, and hostesses often use language like, well, the Canadians are coming, which means black clients or customers, or they'll use this kind of code language to kind of disguise what they're really thinking again, like somewhat like the joking. You know, you try to legitimate racist commentaries by putting it in another language or in another kind of framework by using that kind of terminology of, well, it's getting awfully dark in here, which means there are too many black customers in a certain section. Or you'll yell back to the cook that, don't be in a hurry to fix the meal for the Canadians. And if somebody over here, you know, you use the code word because if somebody overhears you and doesn't know what the code words mean, they'll think you're just silly. When in fact it's a kind of racist communication in that kind of a setting. I think it's another indicator of this kind of colorblind era where many, if not most whites, still want to practice a kind of open, blatant racism, still want to think in those terms, but need to disguise it because of the kind of colorblind veneer that's put on the society right now. And also because they now know they will get more resistance from black folks and other people of color. You know, you see in some of the diaries when a white kid is caught using the N-word because there's a black person nearby. And they get very defensive, almost feeling like they're going to be retaliated against. So that's one reason for the code words, is because I know more people will speak up these days than maybe 30, 40, 50 years ago. But I think it's probably somewhat like the joking. You know, it's a kind of cover-up of real feelings and real meanings.
Business is booming in downtown Detroit, but one popular bistro is closing its doors. The owner says they're being forced out because they're black. As Fox 2's Amy Lang explains, there is a racial battle brewing at the heart of Detroit's rebirth.
It's very painful because, you know, we were just trying to do good business and we want to make things nice for the people for Detroit.
Marilyn Hall had big dreams for her restaurant, sunk her life savings into this place, leased the space. In November 2013, she and her son, Gerald Watson, opened Mo Better Blues on Adams in Detroit. But she says new building owners came in and now Mo Better is out.
They allowed us to build this place out, spent over $250,000 in it, and then wanted to get us out and put somebody else in it.
Gerald Watson says they've been in a legal battle for months with owners Kales Grand Circus Park. Everything from rent payments to building conditions. An attorney for Kales did not return our calls for comment, but Watson says he believes he and other black business owners are being forced out of this new Detroit.
I think it's racism. We feel they don't want blacks downtown.
Just last week, the Detroit News published a story about black-owned businesses evicted from the Himmelhawk building after leasing there for 30 years. And Darnell Smalls, the owner of the Tangerine Room next to Atwater Brewery, says he's being forced out as well by building owner Rivertown Holdings.
He wants the space back to be a part of, I guess, the revival. you know, which I'm sure everybody wants to be a part of, but he's trying to just come up with a reason to, you know, kick me out.
An attorney for Rivertown points to a judge's ruling that Smalls demolished part of the inside of the building, leading to his eviction. Smalls says he's still fighting and will be back in court Thursday.
I think in my case, particularly, he always wanted the space back.
After all, it's all about the space.
You think that's a shame, but it's not wrong, and it's not discrimination, and it's not anything evil.
Scott Griffin with Griffin Properties and Restaurant Group says Detroit's rebirth means landlords can now charge double what they did just 2 years ago.
But you can't blame that on the landlords who are buying these buildings at significantly increased prices now and who are trying to do the best thing they can for that building, for their investors.
But civil rights activist Reverend Horace Sheffield says other activists are organizing a boycott called No Blacks Downtown to discourage blacks from coming where it's perceived they're not wanted.
This town's gone through an awful lot to get where we are, and it needs to be a shared space and something that appreciates folks who never left with the same value as those who are just coming back.
Sheffield says he's meeting with business leaders and reaching out to property owners, hoping to bridge this divide.
Let's do better with this resurgence than we've done in the past. We've got one opportunity to get it right, and let's get everybody together and make it happen.
In Detroit, Amy Lang, Fox 2 News.
Context of white supremacy. Gus T. Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Thursday, April 12th, 2018. So I have been told. This is our weekly broadcast on neutralizing workplace racism. The audio segment that you heard at the beginning, lots of different snippets. We heard former Cows guest, admitted racist, Dr. Joe Feagin, author of Two-Faced Racism, one of the few books written by a race soldier that I do think has a good bit of constructive information. He actually, I say when I read that book, because it has a lot of journal entries where white students, I think it was like a college assignment that they got, but they were supposed to write down anytime something racist happened. And a lot of these incidents are dealing with their white family members, white friends, a lot of the things that we emphasize on this broadcast all the time. If you are a white person, you're around racists all the time. Every day. So you're hearing racist comments. So you get to hear some of the things that were said in different contexts. You heard Dr. Feagin specifically talking about the restaurant setting, and he has a whole chapter in his book. That's how extensive it is. I think we had a listener maybe a month or so ago, within the last 30 days, who dialed in on a compensatory call in and was saying that she wanted to hear more about the tipping situation. And I said, we've talked about that, you know, a lot on the program. It came up during that section as well on the same thing where, you know, racist was, oh, the niggers don't tip. We don't want them in our section, that sort of thing. He talks about all that in the book. And at the end of that segment, when they talked about what was happening to black business owners in Detroit, again, I think that's very important. Again, I'm not opposed to any what they call black entrepreneurs. Phenomenal. We have black entrepreneurs that support this here broadcast and have done so for years. So I am certainly rooting for them to do well. However, I think it is dangerous and inaccurate when people suggest that just because you are quote unquote self-employed, you no longer have to deal with racism, or that just becoming self-employed will solve your problem. You'll never have any issues with racism in the workplace again. That is false. It can certainly alter how you're going to relate to whites in the workplace, might put you in a better position, might not. But you know, it is not going to erase that problem completely. And I hear that suggested, sometimes stated explicitly on a regular basis. I think clips like that are very important in refuting that notion. If we have any folks who have figured out some codification that works well, if you are self-employed, that works well to correct, to make sure that that sort of issue never becomes a problem. If you are employed for someone else and it is working out well for you. You get all your raises, you get all your promotions, you don't have any accusations of being aloof, too quiet, not a team player. You get a great office, you get your vacation time with no hassling, you get your sick time, your personal days, whatever it is, no issues if you need a transfer. Hey, it's looking like if you want to stay there until you retire, you can do just that. Put your feet up on the desk for the next 20 years, collect your paychecks, and have a great time. Have a great career. If you have got yourself in that position, you should be first to dial in and give us tips on how you did it. 641-715-3640. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. For any of the folks listening to the archive, you can always listen live. This broadcast specifically every Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. You can listen in at Black Talk Radio Network. Just look for the Context of White Supremacy. You can also listen at TuneIn. I just tweeted the TuneIn address for the Context of White Supremacy. You can listen live and you can call in during the live broadcast. The number again, 641-715-3640. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. A few things before we get to some of the callers. Certainly any folks who have problems, workplace difficulties, call in. You can also email untiljustice@gmail.com. Untiljustice@gmail.com. If you're not able to dial in, if you want to share a situation that you're having, or if you have thoughts on any of the commentary that you hear, drop an email and we can share your comments during the live broadcast. A few things before we get to the callers. Number one, of course, we could not have a Cows broadcast in 2018 without having a Gus T yoga story. I'm at class this week. I've been saying for months now that my code, I wear my Cows t-shirt. Please respect me like I am a white person. I wear it to every class. This Monday, I did not wear it. Got to have laundry at some point. However, we get to the end of the class. Suspected racist, white man, he comes up to me and he says, excuse me, sir, my name is Mark. And just that shirt that you wear, even though I didn't have it on that day, that shirt that you wear, that please respect me like I'm a white. I mean, wow, it's so short and it makes me think. And just, man, I just wanted to talk to you. I mean, I'm an attorney and I've been working this case. There's a black man. He's a conductor for a train. He's been working on the train for 36 years. He's brilliant. Works the train, never been late, great attitude. He even sings on the train. Do you know they had a position open up where he could have been promoted? He's got 36 years of experience. They got two spots open, and they give them all to white guys. And he had more experience than all of them. He was smarter than all of them. And he sings. He said that twice. And he sings. He says, I'm going to take this case all the way to the Supreme Court if it has to get there. And your shirt, it reminds me of that. People used to say to me that you are a white guy and you're privileged. And I would be like, you are crazy. And I don't even know what you're talking about. And he says, at this point now, I get it. I was confused before, but I get it. And definitely every time I go in and I look at this case, 36 years he's been on that train and they won't even promote him. I know exactly what they're talking about now. I wanted to share. That's what he told me after class. And I didn't even wear my shirt that day. When I see him next time, and I've seen him at class since then, I'm going to get that guy's name. I was not prepared for all of that. This was at the Anyway, when I see him next time, I'm going to see if I can get this black male's name to see if he's in the Washington State area. Would be great to get an interview, or at minimum to see if there are like news reports on this case, if this has been an ongoing thing where he's been denied promotion. But I will do homework and report back. Yoga story out of the way. Next, we had a listener, several folks who wrote in. First person wrote and actually had a report that they wanted to share. I will read what their commentary and then the report I will post on Facebook, Twitter, and what have you. So you can check it out. I guess if you get lost or are not interested in accessing those sites, you can drop me an email and I reckon I can forward, but that can be kind of a hassle. It would be great if you can nab it from the social media feed or what have you, but I will definitely share. So the person wrote in, Naeem, I called into the broadcast about 3 weeks ago as a first-time caller on workplace racism. I was listening to the playback of the most recent workplace racism broadcast dated March 29th, when the conversation on stress and its deleterious effects on Black life and case anecdotal evidence is insufficient to relay the significance of the points made by the callers and the host, here is a 2017 report released by the American Psychological Association, Dr. Welsing. Detailing the state of non-white stress and the shortening of lifespan as a result. If this could be shared with the fellow victims, this would be most appreciated. This is from Naeem, and the report is titled Stress and Health Disparities. I was checking it out that they don't really go into a lot of specifics about work. It's kind of broader in its focus in terms of just how the different lots of different ways that stress impacts Black people and health consequences, that sort of thing. As I said, I will post it on Twitter, Facebook. I'll share it. You all can share it amongst yourselves. If you miss out, drop me an email and I can forward it along. Next, a person wrote in, Black male, glad to hear that you are in good health. Amidst the flooding of your residence for your program, it's been very constructive. Since the last time, last time I was able to dial in, call in, listen, was before Christmas, December 2017. So I would like to share my observations. I know some victims' code is to not go to Christmas parties, and I definitely understand the reasoning for not going. However, mine wasn't mandatory, but I was asked on several occasions whether or not I will be in attendance. It seemed like there was an underlined notion that if you didn't go, there might be some sort of repercussion. So I decided to go, and this was my code. I came about an hour late to avoid all the idle meet and greet and go straight to the dinner. Most, if not all, of the whites were intoxicated before dinner was served. I used that time to find out information about the other whites, which did work because they were drunk and their lips became loose and would readily tell information that otherwise I would not be able to access. So far, the information I received has been helpful. Also, part of my party code is to leave as soon as dinner is done. At this party, everyone got up from the table and went to the bar, which gave me the opportunity to exit. I just want to pause here in between paragraphs. First of all, that happens a lot where these sort of gatherings, they are not explicitly mandatory, right? Like there's no policy that states you're going to be written up or terminated or you're going to be demoted if you don't attend. But there is, exactly as he said, you'll have a lot of, it'll be your manager, it might even be, you know, the CEO, COO, whatever it is, a white person with a lot of power over your paycheck and whether or not you have, you know, a job. Hey, are you going to go to the party? Sure, would like to see you. They'll keep doing that sort of thing. Or it might be waves. Sometimes they'll send lots of different whites to come out. Oh, man, are you going to come by? We sure do want to see you. You sure? Oh, come on. It just wouldn't be the same without they keep doing that sort of thing where it's not stated that you got to go, but you feel as though, yeah, I might, you know, not be in good standing. Might be what I said at the beginning. You might be aloof. You're not a team player if you don't participate. So that is definitely something we've talked about before, should be factored in mind. Maybe you go, you have a code. We talked about that as well. The second thing, I've said it repeatedly, we'll continue to do so. One of the most dangerous combinations in the universe, whites, alcohol. That sort of environment is super dangerous. And even at these workplace type events, and I know that from personal experience, they're so dangerous. I have been warned in advance where they've said, hey, we know people get out here, they get dangerous and do all sorts of corrupt, incorrect things, and sometimes even things that are worthy of being terminated. So I've had, you know, that be a part of the employee hiring speech. So whites know that these things get way out of hand. When people start drinking and relax and all that, it is great to have a code about that. I'm going to be here 30 minutes. As soon as it looks like we're going to go and it's time to get to the tequila shots and all that, well, I got a few other things I got to attend to this evening, family, you know, being a parent or whatever it is. I got to check on my parents or whatever. My dog is sick. He got into some chocolate yesterday. I'll catch you all tomorrow at work. Okay. Continuing with the report. Second, while I work in construction, I'm also in real estate. I'm trying to get enough capital to go full time for myself on the steps I have done to attain this financial freedom. Is I purchased my home without any overhead. To be brief, my attempted spouse and I were deciding to get the heat installed, and I wanted to go with a black contractor, which we worked with several times before. Nevertheless, she decided to go with a white contractor because his price was less than the black contractor. As I predicted and warned her, the white man is practicing racism, white supremacy. First act of racism, white supremacy, is he convinced my attempted spouse that he was doing us a favor by leaving an old ductwork in the house, which we paid for all new. He used buckets of words on her, and it worked so well that she was even believing what he said. Second act of racism, white supremacy, was that in order to receive insurance on the residence, we have to provide proof that we have a new roof, electrical and heater installed. Got the first two from the black contractors, but this racist suspect is withholding information to stop us from getting the insurance coverage we need. So far, it's just been an ongoing back and forth between my spouse and him. I told my spouse he's practicing racism, in which she agreed. Wow. I informed her that one of the ways to stop a racist is with a more powerful racist. So I decided to call the city inspector, which he has to answer to. I suspect this will get him upset. I'm waiting for an inspection date and will keep everyone abreast of what happens. Any suggestions if I could have handled this differently will be appreciated. Construction victim, that's how he's going. So we'll just reference him as a construction victim from now on, unless he wants to change that up. One thing, and just because one of our listeners just talked about this type of scenario recently, just your presence, that was a listener's conclusion, and I think some other folks, you all can correct me if I'm wrong, where it was a black female, and I think Roz was in this. I think it was Roz, and it might have pertained to the recent passing of his stepfather and having to deal with the insurance and, you know, settling all those affairs. Blessings to his stepfather. But just your presence, that the white person, race soldier, was coming and being really nasty and abusive, racist, to his black female spouse. He came and was there and offset this behavior. Their behavior changed considerably. I might be incorrect. It might not have been Roz's situation, but I think one of our listeners just dialed in with a very similar situation, and they didn't come in. They, you know, weren't wearing a Nat Turner shirt and talking black power, rah, rah, kill cat. Just there, just being present. And that seemed to have a big impact on how they behaved, and they seemed to be much more in line just seeing black male presence there to support black female. That would be one. It sounds like that also is great if you can go get a more powerful white person to come in and make sure that things are happening efficiently, correctly, as they should in this situation. I guess you can report to see if the city inspector helps you in any way manage, navigate with the situation. The Christmas party section of it sounds great, like you had your code together about coming late, getting right there when the food is going to be served, and as soon as the meal is done, good evening. For the Christmas or any other party type situation, I try to say if you cannot go by yourself, that's also helpful, male or female. If you have somebody else who can accompany you, that can be an extra witness, unfortunately, if things go bad, if, you know, someone is being sexually aggressive, unwanted touching, that can be someone to help fend you off, and that can be someone who can help pry you away if, you know, you need to exit quickly. Last thing I'll get in before I get to callers. I have my own situation because I encourage this a lot when I say, hey, this is not a spectator broadcast. This is not a program for people to just say, hey, it's Thursday, I'll just listen in and hear the black people and whatever difficulties they're having on a job for the week. That's not what this is designed for at all. We have younger folks who listen to this program. It is super helpful for them, I suspect, to hear about some of the types of things that might unfortunately happen to them if they get out into a workforce dominated by white supremacy. I think it can be helpful for them, for us to kind of reflect on our work history. I think if you've worked at all, I'm sure there are situations when you are more confused, like Gus T., where you can think back and say, wow, if I had known what I know now about racist man, racist woman, I would have done this, not that. I would have said this, not that. I wouldn't have said this. I know I can certainly say that. Most of those situations, I can reflect and say, oh, okay, yeah, I would have. Easy, nothing to it. Easy, nothing to it. Boom, boom, boom. There is one situation I have thought about for a good month, and I still have not come up with a code as to, yes, this is the codified way I would have dealt with this situation. I think I've shared this on the program, but matter of fact, I'm very sure I shared this on the program before because we did a whole segment about white women race soldiers in the workplace, 2011 in the archives. The scenario, and I would love to hear any counter-racist suggestions, how you think this, what the best way to deal with this situation is. Okay, office situation. I came in on a weekend. I forgot a couple of items. I came in Saturday afternoon, we'll say 12 p.m., bright and sunny. I come in, I'm in my office specifically, no place else in the facility, my office specifically. I'm in the office for maybe, we'll say 20 minutes or less, max 20 minutes, probably something less than that. Sit down, I fill on the computer for a second, grab the items I forgot, and boop. Out of there. Didn't see anybody, didn't know anybody else was there. Big parking lot, like more than 100 people work at this, more than 150 people work at this facility. Lots of folks, not unusual to see cars there all times of day, especially on a Saturday afternoon, even though that's not a normal work day. Not unusual to see a car or five there or people or whatever. I didn't see anyone, didn't hear anyone, went on my way. I came in that week. No one, you know, raised a concern about me coming in on the weekend. Who cares? The rumor, however, that came back was white female employee allegedly was there that weekend. I didn't see her and I didn't recognize her vehicle. So, you know, whatever. But she allegedly was there at the same time that I was there that Saturday. She had told other employees that she was there. And that when she saw that I was there, I don't know if she saw me or just saw my vehicle or what, but when she became aware that I was also present in the building, she became scared, thought I would rape her, and immediately fled the building. Now, this was told to me. I did not hear this statement. And this was just past rumor, right? Gossip. That's part of why I think I've had some difficulty with this because I did not hear this from the person. And just the oddness of it happening over the weekend and all of that, at any rate, this being a rumor that was passed that got back to me. Document, obviously, it would be written down. But beyond documentation, I am not sure what else would be the correct thing to do with regards to counter racist suggestion in responding to this event. I've thought about it, continue to think about it. I suspect this sort of thing might have happened to some other black people. And so if you have a suggestion on what you think would be the best counter-racist method to deal with that sort of situation, you come in and a white female employee is rumored to have said that because they became aware of your presence in the building on a weekend when there were ostensibly fewer people there, you all might have been the only, you know, two, three people in the building. When she became aware of the black male's presence, she fled the building out of fear of being raped. And this was someone that I had worked with for at least a year at this point, if that means anything to you. If you have suggestions for that, if you have your own commentary, if you have commentary on what was shared by any of the folks who wrote in or the audio at the beginning, the number again, 641-715-3640, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Folks who dialed in with a hand up, line should be open. Feel free to chime in.
Hello.
Can I be heard?
I heard Thomas in New York as well as our female caller. We'll nab our female caller first.
Okay. Hey, it's Chantel.
Greetings.
I just want to share something commentary. I also do need some advice as well.
Right on.
I had my quarterly review today, and it wasn't good. It was more so based on the last quarter we had, which our entire department didn't do well. A couple people thought they were going to get fired, as well as I, but I'm not fired. It was said during the quarterly review that I wasn't, as vocal in terms of, you know, talking to a whole bunch of my coworkers because I was always focused on doing my work. So they said that they want me to do that more. But then also there was some other things like me trying to get certain things done that I wasn't able to get done. But that all had to do with a whole nother situation that I could get into. But other than that, I didn't get a bonus. And then, so they're basically telling me that, we want to see you talk more and all this whatnot, which I feel like I do. So they're, saying that they didn't tell me I was going to get fired, but, they want me to, be more vocal and whatnot. But I didn't get a bonus, so. Yeah.
Well, now, this situation, context. Chantel has been dialing in about a suspected racist on her job who has been talking a lot, loves to come and talk to her about nonsense. And he's been reprimanded twice verbally about coming and distracting coworkers and talking about nonsense. And specifically disrupting her while she's trying to get work done, and other employees, I think. I don't think she's the only one that's been subjected to this. He's been verbally reprimanded twice, and this came up again in a meeting where people being asked about this employee's conduct and, if there's a pattern of him not being on task and being recalcitrant, as they say, where they tell you once, stop distracting other employees, and then you keep doing it. They have to come back and tell you again, that sort of thing. I would have brought that. And that's why I said before, when all this happened, when he was being reprimanded verbally, I would have wanted something in writing that would have had to go in my folder that I am being distracted from getting my work done by someone who is totally off task.
that would have had to cut. Did you bring that up when they said about the talking? Because, oh, man, like that, that would have been major. Well, go ahead.
They didn't. Well, they weren't talking about Richard and his talking. They were talking more about me and my performance in terms of what I've been doing. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I see you're answering tickets and everything. But we want you to be more vocal. And I'm like, what do you mean? I'm doing my job. Like, it's like, I mean, okay, whatever, people. But they didn't mention anything. Hmm?
Did they clarify when they say we want you to be more vocal? Like, what specifically do you mean? Like, what do you want me to say? And in what context do you want me to speak more?
I guess contributing more ideas. I mean, I contribute ideas. I guess they want me to contribute even more ideas. But the thing is with me, when I'm working, I'm very focused. So it's like, I guess I can't really juggle too much different things. Like when I'm working on tickets and stuff, I'm focused. Like I'm sometimes forgetting to like do this. It's just so much stuff. I'm working in a startup environment. There's a lot of stuff I'm doing. But it was more so of that, just, you know, coming up with ideas. But I'm like, I've come up with ideas. I mean, I can't help that you guys ever took the ideas. Like, I don't understand. So I don't know. But it was already bad because the two suspected races, David and Richard, they had their review yesterday, and it sounded like it wasn't too good. No, I don't think anybody got above a 4 or 3 in our department. I think we all got like 2s.
What's the highest you can get?
I don't know about David.
What's the highest you can get?
To get a bonus, you have to have a 3. So I got a 2.5.
On a scale of 5, is that what we're talking about? Is this a scale of 1 to 5?
Or yeah. On a scale of 5, yeah.
Okay. 5 being the highest.
That's really shocked, though, but that's really low. Yeah.
Okay.
So from what I understand, a white male came over to Richard's desk and asked him, hey, how was your review? And I overheard him saying he got like a 2.5. So,
and this is the guy for listeners who's been doing the distracting, has been verbally reprimanded twice, lots of issues. I think took suspicious time off from work without proper authorization. Like in my opinion, him getting a 2.5, that right there is an act of racism, white supremacy. From what I know of this individual's employment record, like pink slip. Out of here. 2.5 is real gracious, whether he got a bonus or not, in my view, but whatever. The verbal aspect of it, I would have contested pretty strong, even if I had taken time. And I know with those reviews, that might be a good point. I think Mr. Fuller, he suggests sometimes to request additional time. I don't know if you had to sign off on this review. It might be good if you can just get time to assess, read, and decide how you want to proceed. Sometimes they try to strong arm you and, you know, say, if you don't sign it right now, we're going to terminate you, or, you know, we'll mark you down even more. But man, I would have strongly contested the verbal presentation aspect just on are you saying that I need to stop and talk to Richard more when he comes to ask me how many safety pins I can fit in my mouth in 30 minutes? Is that what you're saying? And you can correct me. Have you brought up ideas where you were not listened to, where you were suggesting things and they just didn't listen to what you had to say?
No, I didn't. I was sidetracked because I was just like baffled by what I was looking at. And the thing is, and I've already told you this, I've even tried thinking about leaving the job because the way they run things is over and above my head. They have all these stupid gatherings you got to go to. They're having one tomorrow. You got all
these are outside of work gatherings, you mean? Like office part? Okay.
Tomorrow they're trying to have one. 3 people are not going to be here tomorrow, so they're going to do it Monday. I'm like, are you kidding me? And then a developer's trying to get out of it. She's like, well, the lady's like, well, I can't schedule if nobody wants to. Every time we hit our number of subscribers, they always go out and buy food. They drink alcohol. I mean, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm.
Pattern.
Time is being so wasted, you know? And what's interesting is that the new director, AFAP, was asking me, she's been on us, though, because we have to do well customer service, and she's literally been on us. So she's like, why is there so many tickets here open? And we're like, remember on Friday we had our meeting from 4 to 5, and then we had food from 5 to 6? She's like, oh, that was 5 to 6? I was like, yeah. All those calls came in 5 to 6, and we're doing God knows what. She's like, yeah, it really feels they shouldn't do that too much.
That's another one of those that I would have documentation about, particularly if it's anything about efficiency on the job and things not being handled in a correct manner. I would document anything that is wasting my time. If it's Richard coming in and asking me dumb things that do not pertain to work, if it's these office parties, like those are things that I would document as these are things that are significant detriments to our performance and efficiency on the job and site-wide, not just me. I think this is, you know, everybody. Richard is distracting a lot of people. These parties are taking away from a lot of folks' time and energy. But did any of the listeners, because you were saying suggestions with these performance reviews, and I think that's so important because this is economic terrorism where they just make up nonsense reasons. Oh, well, you didn't entertain enough of Richard's jokes, or you didn't speak up enough in our meetings, or you didn't go to enough of our parties or whatever, so we don't have to give you a bonus. In my view, that's a part of economic terrorism. Any of the folks here have any suggestions about how you would deal with the review? I think the two main points that you raised were not being vocal, suggesting ideas, and then efficiency, where I guess they were saying there were tickets open or tasks that had not been completed in a timely.
Yeah. Well, it was more so my project that I was working on. I mean, they're not paying me to work from home. So when am I going to have time to finish this project? I can't do it during the day because I'm doing tickets. When am I going to have time? An hour is not enough time to do what I need to do. Someone would literally have to do that all day. If you want those articles to be the best they can be, someone would have to dedicate the time to that. And I've already said that, and now they're just realizing it. So why am I being penalized for not getting those articles done?
So my thing, I
do want to mention before I ask for any suggestions, I do want to mention ever since the whole thing started with our customer service team being under fire, David and Richard have been talking amongst each other for about probably a month now and excluding me from the conversation. And it's only gotten worse since yesterday because I know something had been told. I know ASAP had said something to Richard saying, because I remember I told her that Richard was doing this. She had to have told him because since yesterday, he hasn't said hi to me. He doesn't talk to me. He doesn't even do what he normally did. That got obviously rectified. But now I don't want to have a situation where, okay, you're just going to be an asshole because I told on you and now you don't want to, you know, help work with me because we got to work together. We're on a team. So what is happening, what I think is happening, and now I have to document their behavior now, is because there's a possibility that they both might be trying to get me fired because they're talking amongst each other. David had to have known about my review because they asked for his input in the review. So he had to have told Richard about my review. They're acting like they don't know anything. And if he knows what's going on, if they know the certain things that I'm not doing, they're saying I'm doing, they can use that against me. So now I have to document every single behavior that they're doing that they might try to do against me so that when the time does come and they try to fire me, I can prove to them that they were intentionally trying to get me fired.
I just want to make sure I point out for listeners, even though it sounds like there might be some retaliation because I believe you had reported about, or I think they requested your input about Richard, this white man who's doing all the distracting. They requested her input about his misconduct, and she told the truth, and he had been reprimanded twice and all that. But even before that, he had been doing things to throw her under the bus, as we say, to try to suggest she wasn't doing her job correctly and she was at fault when times he wasn't doing his job correctly. He would try and shift and say, oh, no, it was Chantel who messed up. I think she messed up something on this ticket.
He started doing that recently.
And
he's still doing it, too.
Right. I'm just bringing that up because that's the sort of thing whites are going to do anyway, whether you do anything, whether you quote unquote tell on them or report their misconduct, you can do that or not do that, and they're still going to practice racism. That's the main point. Not that they won't intensify it if you are defending yourself on the job and saying that I'm not just going to take any sort of abuse that you target at me. But any suggestions from listeners in terms of responding to the review and the allegations about not being vocal enough and then not being efficient enough in task this project specifically? Any suggestions?
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir. Is this Rob in the great state of Wisconsin?
Yes, it is. Before I comment, I would just like to ask a question. And the other listeners can answer it if they would like. But it just puts me in the mind of when Nellie Fuller says, all that's not hid, you can't hide over. And I'm saying, like, once a person becomes less confused about racism, right, is, like, can you change, can you change your demeanor? Like, can you code switch and go back to being, quote unquote, unaware and able to, transfer that into performance into the workplace? And my suggestion for the female caller is we just have to perform. And whether that may be good or bad, because it's all a game, to be classified as a white person is to be a white supremacist per white man Zach Casey. So it brings me back to what Gus started to program with, thinking about the black male that been on the conductor job for 36 years. Now the white person that came over to Gus, in my opinion, practiced racism without even knowing it. And it puts me in the mind of Nellie Fuller when he says, bring the niggas with the banjos. Here it is. He's talking to Gus about something, about a work situation, and he reiterates more than one time that the black male sings. And, you know, so, and the reason I laid that question out there before is because, like, okay, if we're on the black side of the chessboard and we know what it means to be classified as white, you know, what is the response? And it just puts me in the mind of when Nellie Fuller says sometimes, you know, color doesn't even have to be mentioned. Is anybody being mistreated? Justice, you know, or non-justice. And, you know, I'll share my workplace racism after some other callers have a chance to respond. But my suggestion is just being codified, more laser focus and quote unquote, just play the game. Man, because at the end of the day, we have to provide for ourselves and we have to provide for those who are closest to us. And we are in a weak position right now. Whites are dominating us. And we have to take the position of the spook that's set by the door in order to try and change this situation. And thanks for taking my call.
Okay. Now, this is not the Saturday compensatory call-in. Hang on a second, Rob. But there were three significant metaphors. Nothing incorrect. No apology needed at all. I'm just pointing it out because I don't have enough detail. I think for workplace racism, detail is very, very important. And in this context, for Chantel's performance review about not being vocal enough and not being efficient in task completion, what do you mean when you say you have to perform, you have to be like the spook who sat by the door, you have to play the game, like specifically okay. And in the context of her situation?
Specifically by performing, you have to, when they say that she's not being vocal enough, you have to engage in frivolous conversation more often, and probably even keep count of it 2-3 times a day, no matter what it is. And then they said that she's not presenting ideas. Okay, well, present more ideas. And I hear something, oh, you said spook that sat by the door. What I mean by spook that sat by the door is learning the most constructive behavior from white people and teaching it to people that look like us. And the last metaphor that you asked about was what? I'm sorry.
Let's see. Play the game. Yep.
Play the game. Playing the game is just recognizing that we are on the black side of the chessboard and we have to move very strategically. The game is life. And in this life that we live, this system that we live under, it's about resources. And from my observation, the ones with the access to more resources have a better quality of life. And that's what I meant, if I make any sense at all.
Awesome. Thank you for the explanation, Rob. That did make sense. Appreciate that. The sharing information, acquiring as much information as possible from those who have it, using it for yourself, other victims of racism. Outstanding. Before I get suggestions from other callers, Chantel, were you engaged in frivolous conversation on this job before, or at any point were you engaged in a good bit of frivolous chit chat with your coworkers?
Yeah, more so in the beginning, but not so much. I was more quiet doing my work. It kind of started when we got all into that big open space. They said they noticed I was talking more. But I was, because we have the open space, so we're talking to people, and they noticed that. And I feel like they kept commenting on that every so often. My one-on-ones, my boss kept saying, "Oh, you're talking more." Because I guess I don't know if it's because they're not used to seeing a black person not talk, but he kept referring like, "Oh, you're talking more." It's like, okay, I talk, but it's like, how much do you want me to talk? It's just to make them feel comfortable. You know what I'm saying? Because if a black person's not talking to them, they get uncomfortable. They don't know how to interact with you. Whereas like Esther, perfect example, the Dominican girl that works at my job, she's engaging with them. So they obviously feel comfortable enough to go and talk to her because they feel like, oh, well, she might not have anything against me. Let me talk with her. Whereas if they look at me, I'm not engaging in conversation with them. I only talk with them unless it's work-related. They see that as a problem. So it's not help. Being codified, I'll be very honest with you, it's codified in the sense, you're right, Gus, in terms of documenting stuff, because I was told that I should also do that. That, in a sense, that's perfectly fine. But in the sense of, in terms of the social situation, I'm in an environment, unfortunately, where you have to talk with people. You have to even, like, go up to their desk, or I'm in a startup company environment, so you actually have to be more vocal and stuff like that, especially in a position where they grow. The main people who are there right now are expected to become managers, and that's where I would fit in. So in order for me to become a manager, I actually have to be, unfortunately, you know, up their butt or whatever. With these, like, I'm actually watching her, and I'm like looking at her, I'm like, how is she? She's up their butt. Like, she has to be like that. And then what's funny is she'll still talk to me, but it's a different demeanor. Like, she'll talk, it's like she's two different people. She's like playing the role when she's at work where she's talking to them, but I know at the end of the day when she goes home, she has to be talking like shit about them. Because it's like she's codified in the sense where she's doing her work, but it's not codified. She's actually not being codified. She's actually just blending in with them because she feels that she probably saw my situation with like, okay, well, there's one black female here. I see that she's not doing what they want me to do. Let me somehow be that person so I don't get penalized like she's being. So she's looking at me as an example, as someone not to be working there, which to me is kind of like, you know, but that's because I'm being codified. So she's looking at that like, oh, that's not working.
Hang on 1 second. It could be that. That's your theory. It could be that. Yeah. I don't know. I told people Chantel's been a guest on the program. I've known her for years. Chantel, you were not, according to your own testimony, you were not being codified when you started this job, correct? For months, we're talking. You weren't being codified.
Yeah, that is correct. Okay. No, I was not.
I just think that's important to state for the record. If not being codified was going to send you up the ladder and get you all your promotions and take care of everything, we wouldn't be at this point because you weren't being codified when you started, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Following logic. Do other folks have suggestions?
But hold on a second, because
can I be heard?
Hang on a second, Chantel, because we do have other people who want suggestions, and we've taken up like a lot. Because I do want to hear some of the other suggestions, and then you can come back and give us another thought. Was that you, Mr. Steele?
Yeah, I wanted to give a suggestion. What was the issue that you ran into earlier that you asked for suggestions about? I just want a real quick refresher.
What are you saying? Like, what was the issue from the review, or
what was the issue that you? I think you reported that you were having, and you wanted
my personal issue.
I guess
is that the one you're talking about, where the rumor about the white woman who was fearful about coming into the building?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Can we finish with Chantel's suggestions and then get to, because that's like hopping all over the place. I'm trying to. At least keep myself from getting confused. But I will, yes, we will make sure we get that.
Okay. And then I had another suggestion on top of that. But, I'll mute my line for the time.
Okay. We'll make sure to get Mr. Steele and my situation or anybody else who has comments on that. Anybody have suggestions specifically for Chantel and her situation with the review?
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir. Is this Thomas in New York?
Yes, it is. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, sir. Go ahead.
Oh, good evening, Gus. Good evening to all the callers. I heard Ken Steele. My man Rob got in contact with you. And, of course, Ms. Chantel. Now, I think if you were keeping a record or a log all this time of not only the misconduct from your coworker, but also when you were passed over, your ideas were passed over that you felt were good, or I think that you would have had some retaliation, at least that when you went into the review, you would have had a log of, well, listen, I did do these things, but then again, you know, hindsight is 20/20. So I think that going forward, you know, that you need to, you know, probably every time that you're, idea gets shut down, you know, just keep a record of it, because they're going to, every time that you don't have time to finish a project, keep a record of it. This is what I had to do besides getting this project done. I would at least try to work a little bit on it every time, just so you can't finish it, but, you know, I did put this much effort into it. Just start being more codified as far as keeping a record of some of the things that at least you have a standing chance of going into that meeting and saying, wait a minute, on this date, I did have this suggestion. It was shut down. On this date, I had this suggestion. I am making suggestions. I'm not, just messing around. I think that would have helped you out a lot more. And they would have known that they can't, you know, just come at you anyway because you're keeping a record. And I'm with my line. Thank you.
Record keeping can be helpful. Did you have a suggestion for Ms.
Regarding the email situation, or sorry, regarding the suggestion situation, Chantel, I would suggest that you start increasing your communications with your colleagues via email. Via email is a great way to stay in the minds of your coworkers without having to engage them in person. And then on top of that, it also affords you the ability to keep a log of all of your contributions and all of your suggestions. my suggestion for an email schedule, and I think that all of us who do work in these office environments, I think that we should have an email schedule that we have whereby we have one positive inspirational quote that we send to our coworkers maybe twice a week. And then, again, you follow up any sort of discussions that you have that entail any sort of ideas with a quick email. I'll even say real quick, I'm just going to email this to you right now. And then I'll pull out my phone, and then I'll quick jot down, you know, some of the points that we made during the discussion, and then I'll quick send. And that just keeps a log. Now, the reason why I say just send positive quotes and positive affirmations via email is so that in your coworker's mind, you are going around the office spreading all of these positive vibes. You're going around the office and you're trying to...
Mr. Steele, are you with us? Did you get disconnected, Mr. Steele? Are you still there?
Can I make a quick suggestion off of what Mr. Steele just said?
I'm going to give him maybe 3 or 4 seconds. And then if not, we'll get your suggestion, Rob, in Wisconsin. Mr. Steele, are you with us? Did we lose you? Not hearing you, Mr. Steele. If you can hear us, if you dropped out, maybe you want to disconnect.
You heard? Hello?
Oh, we hear you. Hello? Mr. Steele, are you there? Yes, sir. We can hear you.
Yeah.
You know what just happened? I was just passing by Trump National Golf Course, and I seriously think that they block. I'm not kidding. They block the transmission. I was always wondering about that, and I've never really had a phone call going by there. But yeah, they got that locked down pretty tight.
4 more years.
Yeah. So. What was I saying? I was covering the reason why you're sending those positive emails once or twice a week is so that then you have a log that I actually, you know, send positive affirmations all the time. You know, I'm, you know, the hang in there, baby, the picture sender, you know, just, and make sure they're the most benign, innocuous, inoffensive emails. They can even be schmaltzy, cheesy, whatever you want to call, whatever adjective you want to use to describe them. But that's the sort of thing that you want to send. Just look at what's super popular on your LinkedIn right now and send that. And I guess I have some suggestions along those lines, but when I can get to Gus's thing, I'll address it then. Thanks.
Appreciate that, Mr. Steele. Rob, did you want to get your suggestion in, sir?
Oh, yeah, just very quickly, it's adding to the email when he stated that. I had a quick thought that if you chose to send an email, you could possibly set the email up in a question form that would make that person approach you at work, and that way you can engage in conversation in that manner. But my suggestion would be to engage the employees more in a face-to-face type of conversation. Thank you.
Appreciate that, Rob. In Wisconsin, did any of the other folks dial in have specific suggestions for Chantel's situation for dealing with the review? Any other folks have commentary on that?
Can I be heard?
Retired firefighter in Florida.
Yes, I have been somewhat listening, and from my understanding, the lady actually was doing some of the things that the job was complaining of that she no longer was doing. Am I correct about that?
Well, I guess the two things that she said from the review, not being vocal enough, where she says she has been, you know, speaking up and presenting ideas, but I guess either they want more or whatever the case is there. And then the other point was, I guess, efficiency. I guess she has a specific project that she's supposed to be working on, and they feel she hasn't made enough progress on that project. And then it seemed like they also had an issue about other tasks not being completed. But those were the main two issues that she presented from the review.
Yeah, okay. I was just thinking as I was listening that when an employee, when a non-white employee especially, takes a course that they consider to be to their best interest based on workplace racism, white people are quite keen on what they do, and they are aware that it may be a reaction of that non-white person that they would basically try to take a different codified path than they were taking when they first got on. And I would say that there's going to be a price to pay. It's going to be a price to pay from the standpoint of, that's a metaphor. But they're going to be aware of it. They're going to be aware of it. And because the reason why we suggest to each other about taking notes and compiling information is because that's what they do. The racist white supremacists, they do that very well. They are paying attention to their employees. They're paying attention to their non-white black employees because they know that you're going to come, eventually they're going to come to them to ask for something that would be to your best interest. And if they decide that they do not want to give it to you, instead of being brutal about it, they would rather be more deceptive about it. And so therefore they would have that record based on something that can be considered to be. I'm not saying that she was actually, because I wouldn't think so based on what I've seen on in employment, but they would basically able to in their way justify the means by pulling out a sheet of paper based on, you know, their observations and that sort of thing, just waiting for you to come in there, you know, or about the results of something, or if you aggressively come in to ask about some sort of a pay raise or something of that nature. That is to be, it actually is to be expected, to tell you the truth. But on the other side of the equation, I don't see anything wrong with if you have to engage more in conversation. I don't see anything that is counter-racist incorrect about that. Employment, different means of employment has different circumstances. What she is going through and what a lot of the participants on the cows when in their workplace go through, I didn't have to go through. I mean, retired firefighter probably would be fired firefighter if he had to go through a lot of that, what I have been learning on this program. As far as that concern, just by knowing my personality. But I wouldn't see anything wrong if you had to make some sort of adjustment in order to become, I mean, we are in a weak position as it is. So it's being, you know, realistic to do something like that. And hopefully I made some sense. You said to wait the whole off comments about your quote unquote alleged rape situation?
Correct.
Okay. All right. That's all I have to say for right now. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Do we have anybody? We'll get one more suggestion for Chantel's situation before we move forward. I know other folks have their own situation they want to comment on, what have you. Do we have a final suggestion for Chantel's situation? I reckon other folks called in, they have their own issue. One thing that I will say, we can get, I guess, if Chantel, you want to give a final word. One thing that I would say, I do think it's very important to be definitive in the workplace. And this, I mean, it's not a criticism. I've been in this position myself. Sometimes it's difficult. That's why I've been bringing up application of counter-racist code. Like, I've been bringing that up for weeks now, because I think that alone, when you're not able to be consistent in how you function on the job, when you don't have a plan that you're going to implement, I think that in and of itself can be a problem. When you just come in day to day, try to figure it out as you go, starting from scratch with a new plan every other day, or just kind of going with the flow, I think that can end up getting you into a lot of problems. And I know with Chantel's situation specifically, because we've been talking about it on the air, like I said, I've had a lot of conversations with her not documenting. We talked about that before with the Richard situation, where he was doing a lot of distracting, not documenting that this was happening. And I think even the people on her job raised this as an issue in a meeting, saying, oh, man, if you had documentation about Richard's documentation, that would be helpful in dealing with this situation. That's what I mean about not applying codification. If you at least have a plan, I'm going to go in and I'm going to do a lot of talking to these people, at least have an idea about what things I'm going to talk about, topics in my, we've talked about that before. Your counter-racist code might be, I'm going to do this amount of talking to people today. We've talked about that. Everybody doesn't have the same code. I'm going to talk about these specific things that might be all related to workplace. There might be workplace and two other things that are not workplace that I talk about. We've discussed that before. It might vary for what you have to deal with. However, you are going to have to devote time to thinking about what is going to be the most effective way that I can codify my behavior for this job and consistently applying that code, meaning documenting when important things happen so that you have a record. The email suggestions I thought were very constructive, because you, not only is that a form of communication, you have immediate electronic documentation. Bam. Now I got a record. They got a record, date, time, everything about what was communicated, whatever it was. Bam. Add that to my files as well. I'm a big fan of using email or whatever the, if it's text or whatever you have, big fan of that electronic communication, instant record on the job. But applying your code on the job, I think, puts you in a much better position. Even when it's time for those reviews, if you have consistently applied your codification, you go into that review already. Because I was thinking those reviews, it's normally written. I was thinking, was all this written? It would be great to just be able to see the exact language that they used, because then you can respond using their exact wording to go exactly to whatever critique or what have you that they offered. But if you've been consistently applying code, I think it even puts you in a better position for those reviews. You can look at your own records to see if you can refute with evidence any of the charges that they've leveled against you as to why they are going to economically penalize you and saying, no, you're not going to get, you know, a bonus because you didn't, you know, you only talked 5 times and you should have talked 20 times and, you know, you didn't get this project complete or you didn't get 50% of it done in this quarter. Was there anything else you wanted to get in before we transition to some of the other folks, Chantel?
No. One question I did want to ask, the person who I mentioned sending the positive quote, when you mean sending that, do you mean just sending that an email or sending it with the ideas and suggestions?
Mr. Steele?
Hello?
Yep, we can hear you.
Can I be heard? Just a second. I'm.
Ooh, noisy. No, he's in transit. Might be.
Yeah. That's the ocean. Anyway, what is that? That's the Pacific Ocean at sunset. But check this out.
When it comes to the positive emails, you want to have your whole email, or what's that, your whole group, like your team or your department, whatever, anytime you get like these emails that are like, you know, to the team or something, you want to have those emails saved into like a little block and then send those emails directly to them from your email in a group email and have them all CC'd so that they all can see that they're all included in on it, and, you know, have it be a little team event weekly or biweekly or something like that. And that should do a good amount of reframing your position and your presence within their work existence. You kind of evolve from the person who is aloof and who is not engaged and who is not talking to the person who is, you know, motivating the team and getting the team spirits up. And that's just an easy way to do that. It'll help you because, you know, I think that, you know, as cheesy and as schmaltzy as some of those messages are, I think that there's some utility to positive affirmations. So if you're the person on the team who's sending it, then you're, you know, a little ball of positivity, and they should not look at you with such a critical gaze, or a less critical gaze, as it were.
Okay.
Just from my understanding, when the critique about you not speaking up enough, was it just in lieu of ideas, or was it also including you don't chit-chat with us, or both?
They're chit-chatting.
So it wasn't you don't speak up with ideas. It was you don't chit-chat with us.
And it was that too.
So it was both.
Not enough ideas. Okay. It was both and okay. The chit-chatting.
Got it. Thank you.
You know, as it pertains to ideas, I don't know what industry you're in, but along with the same idea of sending out positive affirmation emails, you can also just generic industry news. I remember when I was working for a pretty well-known job board, what was really important was labor statistics. We always had to know, you know, what the unemployment rate was. We were always following developments in that area. And, you know, while I was working there, I kind of made it a race with my some of my managers who would be the first to post the monthly unemployment statistics on the first Friday of every month. So that is the type of information that you can just send. So if you have relevant industry connections on your LinkedIn, for instance, you can just take the popular trending posts from there and just, you know, send that in that same email group. Hey, I got some insights on, you know, some, you know, industry developments, you know, take a look at this, really interesting. And you can do that once a week. And that will be a record of you contributing ideas, contributing discussion, contributing positively to the work environment.
Hmm. Right on. Big fan.
I work in customer.
Hang on a second. We had other people who I am sure had their own situation that they want to get to or address other commentary. Number again, 641-715-3640, and the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. I do want to state this again. I don't think anyone can truthfully say Gus T has ever said go on a job and be mute. I think we've had this conversation a lot because one of the main weapons, it seems to be, on the job is to accuse Black people of being aloof or not talking, just any way to practice racism, white supremacy. And I know specifically we have talked about making sure you do not go on the job and just ignore people and not speak. I think we've talked about that specifically. Make sure you go on the job, speak to everyone, and even being codified in that. Maybe you don't say good morning to the whites. You just say, morning, Bob. Morning, Thomas. Morning, June. That's what the whites get. Then you say whatever you're going to say to the non-white employees. But we talked about that, like being codified, expecting that this is one of the ways that they try to target Black people in particular on the job. So you're already thinking of a way that you're going to neutralize that as well. Do we have other folks who had commentary that they wanted to share?
I'll be heard.
Thomas in New York. Actually, are there any folks we've not heard from at all? Any folks who have we have not heard anything from them?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, everyone. Caller from Virginia at the University.
VA is for lovers. Guys...
it is. Give you guys an update on the university gift that I closed a couple weeks ago, that $500,000. We had a resolution on it, and as I suspected, the racist suspect who had sent that long email about the gift received half the credit on it after taking over some aspects of it.
Of course. This, if I recall correctly, this was the situation where there was like a competition between you and several other folks and you getting this big $500,000 gift award. I mean, wow, huge lead for the, I don't remember what the prize was, but big lead and main white woman suspected race soldier antagonizing about all of this. You were in competition with her. She's now somehow getting some of the credit. Is that accurate?
Yes, essentially. When the gift came about, I was instructed to give her some information about it. And once I did that, she kind of stepped in and tried to, you know, change some things and point out that I had made a mistake, which I hadn't. And then my boss came in and said, why didn't you speak with her about it? And it just kind of became a little messy. And so she came back in and she... you know, made some changes and then tried to, you know, she talked to the donor. She called the person without my knowledge,
wow.
You know, sent another big email about it. So she really tried to come in and take over a lot of the aspects of it. Interestingly enough, the changes that she made were reversed and the original things that I had done were, you know, stayed as they should have.
Wow.
But it, in the end, the $600,000 credit that I would have gotten is now $300,000 for me, and I guess $300,000 for her. But I'm still in the lead. I'm still in first place. So,
what a disgrace!
It's exactly what I thought.
What a disgrace! Mm-hmm. What a disgrace!
Yes.
What exactly did this race soldier? I mean, woo! A $300,000 credit. What did she do to earn this $300,000 credit?
Really nothing.
She complained. Nothing. I guess she made an allegation that you didn't use the correct format. Is that one?
She said I had made a mistake and that she's the expert in this particular gift area and that she needed to fix the language in the document. And so then she made some changes, which all actually ended up having to be changed back. And then she called the donor, unbeknownst to me, to talk with her directly, and came in and made a whole nother set of changes. So she just inserted herself, I guess, to try to justify why she would end up getting half the credit. But yeah, that's how it ended up.
And how long did you work on this $600,000 gift?
I had been working on it for several years. Yeah, so the first meeting that I had with this particular donor was in 2013. So now here we are in 2018, it finally all closed. And that's typical industry standard for gifts of this size. You have to really cultivate the donors and, you know, talk with them a lot, have several meetings with them. So she hadn't been a part of any of that over the years that this, you know, was in the making. And she certainly didn't do anything at the very end other than mess things up a little bit, only to then try to fix it and then get half the credit for it.
Anything now that I guess this has been resolved as you thought it would? I do think that's important in terms
mm-hmm.
of having
yep, that was my prediction.
Accurate expectation. Dr. Welsing being able to predict what is going to happen correctly. Very important to have correct expectations in the workplace that are in line with the reality in which we live. Very, very important aspect of counter-racist codification. Anything that you think you could have done differently, better, that, you know, you could have got the whole $600,000 credit?
Nothing. There's nothing I could have done. Nothing. They clearly want to feed leads to this woman for some reason. I'm pleased with how it resolved, because even the things that she tried to fix ended up, you know, coming back in my favor. So I wouldn't change a thing.
Hmm. Wow.
That's just how it is. Mm-hmm.
That is how the system of white supremacy operates. That is another important point that, you know, is unfortunate. As long as the system of white supremacy exists, sometimes, hey, they just practice racism, and that's that. There's not a whole lot that can be done. There's nothing extra that you can do. We're in a system of white supremacy, and some days they practice racism, period.
And then I have another update, on the woman who was asking you to lunch all the time.
Okay, let's hear it.
Since I spoke to you guys, she's asked me 4 times. One time I said, let's have coffee instead of lunch. And then she asked me to come to her office. And so I did, thinking that, you know, well, gee, I guess this is something really important. Well, it turned out not to be. It was just time wasting. And then the other 2 times after that, I declined. So thank you guys for all that information and input that you've given me the whole time this was going on. I'm thinking, I can't wait to call you and let you know that, yes, it's continued. So those are my 2 updates that I wanted to share. Thank you.
Going forward, are you just going to continue with the declining her invites?
I think I'll accept once in a while, and I'll try to keep it short. So rather than lunch, you know, do coffee or just something short.
Got it.
So that I don't look like I'm being, you know, nasty to her or shunning her somehow, but not going to do lunches anymore.
Got it. We discussed that previously when you called in about the situation, about you might have to do a code where maybe you don't decline every single time, but, you know, you have a code, maybe you decline every 3 and then you take the 4. Didn't we talk about that before?
Yep. That's how I'm going to do it.
That's what I thought. Context of white supremacy. And I do think that is important. The time, that is something that burns my grits. It's not Saturday, not the compensatory call-in. That time wasting, like, I'm a little ornery now. We've been doing the broadcast for 9 years now. I just have a very different perspective about time. Man, racists, that is one of the main ways that they practice white supremacy, is wasting our time on none. They do this on the job. They do this in many contexts. Like, my suggestion, you don't have to take it, I would be real aggressive about guarding your time. This would go for whites. This goes for non-white people, too. But when you see white people on the job who are just wasting your time, like, you are not talking to me to give me any information about the job. We're not even talking about anything job related. You just want to suck up 10, 15, 20 minutes of even 5 minutes, really, of my time to talk about nonsense. Are you serious? Oh, once I identified a white person in my workspace who was like that, oh, man. You talk about aloof, morning tide, morning heaven. I'm going to keep my feet moving. Like, I am not going to dally around them at all. Like, it would be a real streamlined code for any white person. I felt like, you are just here to waste my time. Like, you are just here to take up 10, 15 minutes of my time each and every week, 15 minutes here, 10 minutes there on foolishness. Absolutely not. Be really, really mindful about that. That, as I said, burns my grits. We really have to value our time and energy. Nobody has infinite time. Other folks who have commentary, workplace racism, if you have commentary on what we've heard thus far, if you have your own situation, if you have a hand up, line should be open. Proceed.
Can I be heard?
Actually, hold on 1 second, Mr. Steele. Is there anybody that we missed completely? Any callers that we've not heard from at all?
Hey, Gus, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
How's it going? Oh. I'm sorry, I thought someone else was speaking.
We can hear you. If you want to speak up, that would be helpful.
You can go on ahead.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I've pretty much forgotten what it was that Chantel was dealing with, except for one thing, and that
it was the voice. I can give you a quick refresh. It was a new review. They denied her a bonus. The allegation was she was not being chatty enough with her coworkers. She was not sharing enough ideas, not using her voice enough. And then a project that she was working on, they felt she wasn't being efficient enough in getting it done.
So one of the things you can do.
Oh, are you there? Hello. Are you still with us, sir? Oh, okay, you went out for a second.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Sorry. We can hear you now.
Okay, good to go. I used to view that as a good opportunity to do counter-racism research while participating in the conversations on the job. Now, I wouldn't, participate in the gossiping per se, but I make sure that I was present. And, I made some reactions to some things that I thought were interesting, like, oh, wow, I didn't know about that, or, something to that degree. So that no one can say that I was not participating. Now, if they were talking about an individual, then, I would hear them out, make some thing, responses like I mentioned before. And after they finish, I would always ask, so how can we help this person? I would always ask that question and wait for responses, because that's where I want to take the conversation all along. Let them say what they're going to say, make some, responses, very short, and always end with that question. But I would never say, things like, I noticed that about him, or I noticed that about her, signaling to the person speaking that I was, on their side, so to speak. I would never do that. The other thing about the review, as I understand it now, a lot of companies are getting away from doing that altogether. But the ones who are still doing it, I would make sure that prior to that, whenever I'm asked to do anything, I would never say I can't do it, or I don't do it, or it's not a part of my job description, or something to that effect. I would always accept it, and I would always ask for training, and I'd always put it in this perspective. I'll need to have training in order to do that correctly. Now, this will help you come review time, because 9 times out of 10, they're not going to give you the training anyway. And so if they don't train you on how to do it correctly, then, of course, when it comes time to penalize you, they're going to have some explaining to do. They didn't train you on how to do it correctly, and now they're trying to penalize you for not doing it correctly. Yeah, so those two things go hand in hand. Never let them separate those, because they will. One of the things Mr. Fuller talks about, and I believe it's in his new book. I haven't read his new book. But one of the things he's talked about during our discussions and group discussions is the 3 T's. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Telling, training, and testing. And a lot of jobs leave out that training part. They'll tell you to do something, and then they'll test you on how well you do it. So one of the things that have helped me immensely
in the past and even to this day is to ask for training on doing things correctly. And make sure you put that in email form so that, you know, there's documentation, of course, so that you'll have something to fall back on come review time. And, you know, go into that review with all of those emails, print it out. I've done that in the past, more than one occasion, where I requested training to do it correctly. And in many cases, my review has been overturned from negative to positive. In many cases.
Mr. Edward Williams, founder of counter-racism.com, been a guest on the program graciously many times, has been very gracious with his time and energy hanging out on the program to discuss his book, the website, his views on racism, white supremacy, documentation, having evidence. We talked about that. It can have a huge impact on the job. In my view, being able to get a review overturned, that is huge. I mean, we could be talking, you know, the difference between getting a bonus or not getting a bonus. Just the what Chantel was talking about early on. Mr. Williams, real quick question. When you said it's an opportunity to do some counter-racism research, so you'll go and just kind of casually observe, listen to what people are talking about, make sure that you don't give the impression that you're on your side or, you know, joining into if they're talking about somebody or what have you. But if they're gossiping about someone and they get to the end and you say, what can we do to help that person? How have people responded?
Crickets. And that's because of the peer pressure, you know, on the job and anywhere else. No one wants to speak up because they'll be seen as the outsider. See, but how that's helped me in the past is when other people, when they go to each other and say, what do you think about this guy, Mr. Williams? What is he, you know, how does he participate in the conversations and things like that? The only thing that the people can say is, oh, he's always talking about helping people. So you see how that works? I mean, there's nothing better than getting a constructive help that you need when you need it. So the people can never say anything bad about me except, oh, he's always talking about helping people. You know, I get tired of listening to him sometimes, you know. And so, yeah, nobody can penalize you for wanting to help somebody who needs help. So, I mean, all you have to do is just do a little thinking. Not even a lot of thinking, just do a little thinking. How the outcome is going to be, what do you need to do in order to keep the conversation constructive without seeming disruptive, you know, which is the reason I wait till the end before I ask that question. I don't want to disrupt the conversation. I don't want to cut it short. I want people to say what's on their mind. See, then you get to see who says what about whom. How they say it, you get to understand, and you get to understand the expectations of that individual and the expectations of that group. And that'll help you in the future, knowing who to go to for what.
Definitely makes it clear which folks are interested in helping. I guess you already have your list. Ted is not interested in helping. Okay. That in the future. That is, wow. Love it. Great counter-racist suggestions. Mr. Edward Williams, counter-racism.com.
If I could just for a second.
Yes,
sir. I wanted to let everybody know that so I'm running just a little competition. I started it this past Tuesday, and it ends on tomorrow, where I'm giving away $100 cash
and the information can be found on the Counter-Racism Work Study Project. So if anyone's interested in winning that money, you can find it under the Counter-Racism Definitionary form. So I personally can use the money. I'm not in the habit of giving away money, but trying to get people motivated to do some counter-racism thought, to talk about counter-racism strategies and techniques, and to act in a manner that will replace the system of racism, white supremacy, the system of justice. Thank you, Gus.
That's the folks, if you're interested. So Mr. Williams' submission, $100 to $100 US to give away on April 13th to the person with the best definition for racism, white supremacy. Certainly a Cows listener or three has a definition for racism, white supremacy. I will post it on the Facebook page. I'll tweet it out as well. He has rules for the definition. I'll just post it so you can read it for yourself. But it's on the counter-racism.com website. As he said, go to the work study page and then the definition post. It's the first one at the top. You'll see it, and I'll post it on Facebook. I'll tweet it out as well. counter-racism.com. Mr. Edward Williams.
I appreciate that, Gus. And one quick thing, Gus, you're disqualified.
Man, get out of here. Never mind. I'm going to delete, forget I even said that. Man, I can't get, man. Tough times on the plantation.
Your support,
tough times on the plantation. Man, no love for Gus T. Still appreciate you, Mr. Williams. Hopefully we can have you back on the program to chat it up in the future. Still generous with your time and energy as always, Mr. Williams. There was a male caller who spoke up simultaneously with Mr. Williams. I think you yielded the floor. Did you have a suggestion or commentary you were going to add, sir?
Yes. Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
All right. How's it going, everyone? I wanted to comment on the black female caller's scenario with being denied her bonus money. And I wanted to comment about something that happened to me. But in terms of the black female caller, I've gone through multiple performance reviews. I get one every 3 to 6 months. And what I've noticed is that you have to take whatever criticism, quote unquote, that they give you. And you have to be very precise and apply everything that is said. So I believe they said that you're not talkative or you're not talking enough. So then that means you need to actually talk to your coworkers a lot more. Maybe try going to lunch with them. I do that. And I deal with racists every day, but my job is engineering, so I have to speak with everyone. But you're definitely going to have to get out there and speak with your coworkers a lot more. Also, I would say that you should document progress in your work so that if you have a project that maybe could take at an estimate a month, you should document that out and give an estimate to your bosses or your manager saying that this project you gave me is going to take a month. Here's my timeline. And then go by the timeline. It's always good to give timelines ahead of time. And I think that's pretty much it for that. And I had a situation that on my job, I was working on an assignment. I had to repair some glass, acrylic glass, and there's this polishing system that we use in the shop, and had to go to the lab to talk to this white man. And this white man takes me and he gives me this CD and he puts it and I put it in the computer, and this presentation shows up And, you know, he's telling me before this comes on, he's saying that, oh, yeah, you know, this system, you know how they check it. They have to use the finger looking good system. And I looked at him and he was like, hey, you like KFC, right? You know, finger looking good. And I'm looking at this white man wondering, is he serious right now? And there were two other white guys behind me. And I looked at them and I could visibly tell that they were surprised that he said that. And I just laughed. And then he put in the CD and then a picture of four KFC cups, and behind a piece of glass was there, and I don't know, it was just really interesting. I don't know why he did that. And then my boss, I called earlier about my boss just appearing behind me, trying to scare me. That is what I think, trying to induce stress on my body. And I'm trying to find a way to stop that because it's just creepy that he just appears behind me. Or, you know, people will just not give any word that they're coming to talk to you. They just appear behind you, and there are other whites on my job that do this. So maybe it's just something that they do to black people on the job, but I'm just confused, and I'm trying to understand a good way to get whites to stop appearing behind me randomly. Thank you.
Great suggestions for Chantel for dealing with her situation. I remember that before, I remember that before the white suspected race soldier who was jumping out and scaring you. And we talked about, because it seemed like quite a few listeners had dealt with that before, that terrorism. I think that was when we were talking about the stress on the job that I started with this evening. I think a few folks had suggestions there, but if it's still going on, obviously the problem has not been solved. And if it's a site-wide thing, is it a pattern? Are you noticing that the other whites that are doing this on the job, are they scaring black people, or is it just, you know, they just are engaged in these shenanigans, white people scaring other white people, and this is just something they do on the job?
I don't know if they're scaring other black people, because in my immediate area, I am the only black person. Mm. There are other black people that work in the building, but I am nowhere near them. So I wouldn't know unless I spend a significant amount of time next to them. But I wouldn't put it past them. I don't have evidence, but I wouldn't put it past them to do the same.
Have you been told the race soldier directly who's doing this to you? Have you told him, you know, hey, could you please, you know, stop this behavior? I mean, we're on the job. You told him directly and he continues doing it?
No, I have not. And I guess I'm a little hesitant to do that because this is my immediate manager. And this boss has also said nigger, like right next to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm just very confused because these are very powerful white people. I should also say that in relation to my job. Very,
which
very powerful aren't? White people.
Which ones aren't?
Right, right. And these particular whites, there are multiple cases out against my company, discrimination lawsuits. And the issue is that these whites are so powerful that they're able to circumvent these discrimination lawsuits and still continue practicing racism, getting people fired, getting people to quit. It hasn't stopped, even though they have these lawsuits against them. So I'm hesitant to do that, mainly because this man is like an overt racist, and I do not have a backup job yet, and I fear retaliation.
Oh. Well, yes, sir, Mr. Steele. Hang on one second. I think retired firefighter. I think we talked before on workplace racism about directness. I think this is one of those, particularly in the context of some of what we've heard this evening. This might be one of those where I can certainly understand if it's fearful of retaliation from powerful whites. That is a extremely logical way of thinking that, you know, hey, if I say something, you know, he could get do something racist to respond if and jeopardize my employment or anything where it causes more problems. Totally understand that. If that's the case, then the simplest route might be to just, you know, tolerate this for, you know, a few more months, a few more weeks. That could be the simplest route to just deal with it if it's not that big a deal, if he's saying nigger around you. I'm of the opinion if it's something that's bothering you, and it does seem to be bothering you, it seems to be stressing you. I know it would stress me to have a powerful suspected racist jumping out to frighten me in a workplace setting on a regular basis. I mean, that would not be cool at all. I would probably have to say something. I certainly wouldn't be, you know, cracker, don't you ever do that. I mean, I'm not saying that, but there would probably have to be something like, man, you know, I have hypertension. I really get startled easily. I would really appreciate it if you could stop with the jumping out to frighten me. Just trying to get my work done and get home without having a heart attack, or however you need to phrase it. I would have to say something. And I mean, if you're asking for ways of getting it stopped, that might be the easiest way to just say something directly, especially if you haven't tried it. But if you rightfully, logically fear that that might be retaliation, and the easiest route might be to just deal with it. I think that's what some folks have suggested in some manner. Do folks have suggestions on this race soldier continuing to jump out and frighten this black person in a workplace setting?
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Regarding this particular issue, previous caller, is your LinkedIn up to date?
It is not.
Okay.
Here's a problem that I see amongst a lot of victims that I've spoken with about this subject. In my personal situation, I've been able to dramatically increase the amount that I make simply by having a LinkedIn that I put a little bit of effort into. And you might be able to put yourself in that same position if you basically update your LinkedIn and do so in a way that paints you in the best light of everything that you've done. I know a lot of us like to underplay some of our successes, but or we like to not include ourselves in some of the success of the companies that we work for. But on your LinkedIn profile is your opportunity to make yourself the best candidate for whatever position it is that you're seeking. And in your particular situation, I would recommend that you just leave. You need to find another job because that environment seems very toxic. It seems very hostile to your existence. You know, you might want to document some of the incidences that you're talking about and join in the sea of lawsuits, or rather join in the already pending litigation that's against this firm. That will only strengthen your case. So find yourself an employment lawyer, you know, document everything that has been bothering you, report it to your human resources department. They will have about 90 days before they can do anything to you before it would be called a retaliation, which is illegal, by the way. And also, you know, just initiate that process and then get on your LinkedIn. Pay for the LinkedIn premium job seeker, update your LinkedIn, describe in your LinkedIn blurb, because there's going to be, when you have the LinkedIn premium account, you can go ahead and include a little blurb that's only seen by other recruiters. And in that blurb, describe the workplace that you want. I put in my description, I want the next opportunity that I get to be a remote opportunity, or if I have to report to an office, I wrote there, I get to wear shorts and sandals, and that better not be an issue. I just wrote that there. Because that's only going to be seen by recruiters, and, you know, and if there is a position that doesn't meet that criteria, I don't want it. You got to be honest with yourself about what it is that you really want at your next opportunity. If you want a diverse workplace, if you want a workplace that has more Black people in it, you need to write that I want a diverse workplace. And they'll be able to, and then you will notice that the recruiters that reach out to you are going to be more tailored to what it is that you put on your profile. And when I say update your LinkedIn profile, you want to look at people who have jobs that you want. So people who have positions, people who do things on their job that you want, and tailor your profile to look like them and be able to speak to what it is that you want to accomplish on your next job. And then on your resume, your resume should look a lot like your LinkedIn profile. It should look very similar. You should include some of the same things, because the same searches are going to be that go into your resume are going to be LinkedIn. I stress LinkedIn so much because as it pertains to the U.S. job market, if you're not a participant, people aren't going to be able to talk to you. Recruiters aren't going to be able to come across your profile. And you're not going to be constantly bombarded with new opportunities. And if you're an engineer, you're definitely going to be able to come across new opportunities. You shouldn't have to tolerate, with your skill set, you shouldn't have to tolerate that sort of treatment on the job. And I think a lot of us are conditioned to. And the reason why we come on programs like this one or we complain about this sort of thing is because it isn't something that we should be tolerating. So find yourself a workplace that works for you. And if you start this path where you're, you know, pursuing legal action against them, legally hire you months without seeming like it's retaliation. So, you know, unless if they, you know, are, you know, comfortable with that being tacked onto any sort of pending litigation that they do have, I would suggest, yeah, you can start that process and start looking for a new job, because it just seems like that is a really intolerable situation. Update your LinkedIn, everybody update your LinkedIn, and be able to speak to the position that you really want and write on prior positions, you know, that's what you really want. That's how I was able to get a much better position doing exactly what it is that I wanted to be doing in my previous position. It's how I got out of the entry level kind of maze. And LinkedIn, your digital presence, it's key, and it can really make a difference in how you feel about your current work situation.
Appreciate that, Mr. Steele. Other folks that we have not heard from at all, do we have, just for right now, any suggestions for our Black male who's having this race soldier terrorize him at the job, jumping out from behind him? Any suggestions on how you would deal with that?
Can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am. Greetings, Emmy.
Greetings, everyone. I think that I've come on the broadcast many times and admitted that I am fearful of white people and whatever it is that they can do in whatever situation it is that I'm talking about whenever I share it. So I resonate with that 100%. I do also think, though, that in situations like this, that you can, if, you know, you can plan out or play chess in your brain a little bit and see how the pieces would move. And you can say, okay, well, if I did this, then this would happen. If I did this, then this would happen. If I did this, then this would happen. Or I could just leave and whatever. The truth of the matter, though, as far as I'm concerned, there's enough evidence to suggest that no matter really where you go, you're still going to endure racism in some shape or fashion. It may not be this white man jumping out trying to scare you, but it will be there. So two things I was thinking about when I heard you speak. I think, well, one, you could just, next time it happens, begin bombarding him with so many questions that it just looks ridiculous, this entire thing, you know? Like, so you're really, like, this is what you do. Why do you do that? What's the purpose of that? You know, and just keep, like, going at it until you just, you take away some of the power. And the second strategy is similar to the first, that you figure out some other way to take away the power. You could just tell him to stop, you know, that's an option. But you could also just make it to where you anticipate it to the point that you don't react to it, thus completely removing the reward that he gets from seeing you jump, or seeing, you know, you have whatever it is, whatever type of reaction it is that you are having that is making him continue to do this. If I do something and you no longer respond to it, then I will cease to do it because I'm not getting the thing that I want. And so, you know, I think you'll make whatever choice, make whatever decision is best for you. But I do think, like, that this is could be an opportunity that you could practice a little bit, and kind of feel a little bit more of your Black self-respect and confidence and whatnot to be able to, you know, kind of level up, so to speak. The reason I say that is because that happened for me when it came time to address a touching situation, which I'll probably have to address again, but this is a totally different job and a totally different context. But I felt the same way. I was very stressed out. Came on here, I talked about it for a little bit, figured out what I was going to do, and then I just dealt with it. And, I mean, of course I did leave, but I didn't leave because of that. So what I'm saying is leaving is definitely an option, but staying and dealing with it is an option too. It's just a matter about being creative and using your imagination to figure out how to really neutralize this particular individual, which is quite possible to do. I have other things to share on some other things, but I'll wait until we finish here. Thank you all for listening.
Appreciate that, Emmy. Do we have any other suggestions for our caller dealing with racist man leaping out to startle him?
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Hey, greetings, Gus. Greetings, callers, listeners. I don't really have a suggestion. I kind of have a question because I went through this last couple of weeks at my job. This gentleman, this guy, I was working, I'm sitting there, I'm working, and I'm doing what I'm doing, and I'm bent down, I can't see, but I see a pair of boots walk by, and I heard, "Get to work, boy," and he said it like I imagine that they said it back on the plantation for real. I know I'm on the plantation, but he said, "Get to work, boy." And I raised up and I told him, I replied, you know, I haven't been a boy for quite some time, you know, and he laughed it off and I let it go. So just last week, he comes to me, he calls my name and I looked over at him and he's like, "Hey, I don't have no fried chicken today, cuz." That was his exact words. I said, "I didn't ask you for no fried chicken, cuz. And you better watch your mouth, man." And I'm not, and he did the whole ha 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 ha. And I was like, I'm not smiling. So I went actually to the manager, which is another white person. And you guys, the cow was all in my mind the whole time, but I was really angry. And I told him what happened. And he said, "Okay, well, I'll get him fired, but I'm going to need you to put something in writing, and I'll get him fired because you should not have to work under those conditions." And I said, "Okay, you know what? I might just do that." But then I thought, well, he might come back in a few days and, like, shoot all of us up or something. And that's that fear, like, you know, I mean, because these people are not stable. So I wanted to ask you and the audience, how would you have handled that situation? Because I could have taken action against him, but, yo, we dealing with unstable people. So I didn't know how to. I just said, I'm going to leave it be. And when I told the manager guy, I said, man, this guy might come back and shoot us all up. He said, well, you got a good point. And I just want to know that, you know, how should I have reacted? How should I have handled that situation? Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir. I was trying to get suggestions for our male caller who dialed in. That kind of pivoted us out of that. I can just give you a quick response, and then we'll see if we can get a few more responses for him dealing with this white person frightening him. I do recall Ivy dialing in about at requesting the program about being angry before, specifically in a workplace context, and I put that generally in every description for the workplace racism broadcasts. Controlling our emotions on the job, that is the most important aspect of, in my view, counter-racist codification on the job. That's more important than documentation. That becomes, you know, toilet paper if we are not able to control our emotions on the job. If you get upset, if metaphor, as whites are able to push your buttons, as they say, you can have years of documentation can end up being worth confetti if they can come in and get us upset or we get riled up and respond to something that they say. The comment about boy might not be worth responding to at all. I think that's a part of some people's code. If a white person comes in and, you know, boy this or gal that, or, you know, doesn't call you by your correct name, I'm not going to respond at all. Like, you certainly are not talking to me. I'm going to just go continue to go about my work until they address me correctly. Oh, you were talking to me? Oh, well, I didn't hear you, you know, say my name. You know, certainly I didn't think you were addressing me with what you said, and just continue on with you. And I mean, you can say that one with a smile. I think that works even better. Like, upset? Why would I be upset? I certainly don't answer to that. So, you know, the next one with the fried chicken, that's one. Oh man, that nigger, anything like that. Got a barrel of watermelon, fresh fried chicken, all for you. You can break out your pen, write it down, break out your iPhone, write it down, date, time. We talked about documentation. Brilliant. Can you say that again for me, Chuck? What did you say? Bucket, fried chicken. Oh, you don't have any fried. Oh, okay. Why are you telling this to me, Chuck? Stay in the question lane. It's no need, in my view. None of these require getting upset, angry. If anything, maybe I ask a question, and I might not even do that. I might just pause, write down that this occurred, and continue about my day. I have found that that works way better than getting into some sort of verbal joust. You know, certainly, you know, people can come up with their own code or respond how they want to. In terms of the manager, I don't know if that would be a top concern unless there was evidence that this person, you know, might be a violent threat. And I mean, at that point, we should be contacting enforcement officials. If there's some sort of evidence, if he's made a threat or something where we think, you know, we have reason to believe that this white person, more than any other random white person, might come and shoot up the place. That would not be a governing concern for me if a suspected racist has engaged in some sort of misconduct on the job. That would not factor into the decision if I think this white person is going to come shoot up the place unless there was evidence. The other people have suggestions on how to deal with a white person who's scaring, just trying to stay on track. We'll take one more last suggestion on how to deal with white person jumping out, frightening you on the job. Any other suggestions for that one, or folks?
Yes, can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, Virginia. Question, I recall somebody had made a suggestion about putting a mirror in your work area. Did you try that? Because I think that might help. And then the person who's sneaking up can ask you why you have a mirror there, and then that would be an opportunity to say, well, you know, people come up behind me and it startles me, so I just like to be prepared. Or something like that, and maybe they would stop doing it. But I thought that was a good idea when it came up. I'll mute.
Were you able to try out the mirror, sir?
No, I forgot about the mirror, but I'm going to do that. I'm going to go buy a mirror tomorrow during lunch. I'm going to set it up. And I'll give updates because that is a great idea, and it might be amusing for me as well. So it'll make my day better.
Grins, counter racism with amusement. Love it. Love it. That, I think, that idea about the mirror at the desk, that did come up when we were talking with our caller here before, but that came up years ago. The same, that's why I said patterns, where people were having the same sort of thing, racists sneaking up on them on the job. And sometimes they wouldn't even sneak up on them to startle them. They would just sneak up and just stand so they could sit quietly and observe and look over your shoulder, see what you're doing on the computer and stuff like that. So, I mean, people had recommended that for years and saying that they thought that was really, really helpful and kind of expanding their periphery vision so that they could have better command of, you know, what whites are trying to do to them in the workplace. Other folks, is anybody that we've missed, anybody that's not been able to speak at all, do you have commentary? Anybody that we missed completely?
Can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, this is the software developer from Wisconsin.
Greetings.
Good evening to everybody on the call and everybody listening, and Gus, of course. I actually had a situation, and I also had a question for Chantel. The question for Chantel was, for the project, have they given her a deadline for this project? I don't know if she's still on the phone.
I'm not sure. Chantel, are you still with us? She might have dropped off.
Okay. I would ask about, first of all, I would ask if there's a deadline and what that deadline is. And then second of all, I would make it very clear that if I need to make that deadline, then my current workload is too heavy for me to make that deadline, because it appears that that's an issue for her. So I would definitely say that. That would be the way I would handle that particular situation, because it didn't sound like they had a deadline for her. They just gave her a project, and then they've been dumping more work on her. So I would make that very clear. I think Mr. Fuller, in his book, he always, you know, he says, if work is being increased deceptively, you know, you should be asking for help, and that may be a good time to ask for help. And as far as my own situation, I am currently dealing with a non-white Indian male at my job who is really increasing hostility. I believe that white people at my job have sort of been amping him up to do so. I think I've shared before that there's sort of a small group of white people who are very powerful at my job who seem to want me at the job for right now. And then there's a large group of less powerful white people who do not want me there. And it seems like he's, quote-unquote, friends with a lot of these people in this larger group that I've seen do very racist things, and I would actually call sort of amping him up to create conflict with me also a racist act. But yesterday we were in a code review, and there was a ball on the table, and there was one of our teammates was sitting beside me, and he made to throw the ball, and he looked like he was going to throw it at me. And I said, I would not throw that. If it hits me, I will have to go to HR and we'll have to make a complaint about assault, because it would be assault. And he said, oh, well, I wasn't going to throw it at you. I was going to throw it past you. And I said, well, again, if it hits me, I will have to go to HR and make a complaint for assault. So in this meeting, there's an architect in this meeting. It's actually the lead architect. And he's like, oh, well, this looks great and blah, 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 you know. And I don't even think he was really paying attention, but he's just sort of laying it on thick. He's one of these very powerful people who wants me to stay there. And the non-white Indian male jumps in and says, oh, well, I really like the way I I had to create something, and I did ask Mama Indian Mill what his opinion was on the creation, because I do think that he knows a lot, and he's very helpful at times. And so he mentions in this meeting very snidely, oh, I like the way you wrote that particular thing. And I was like, yes, well, you helped me with that. That was your suggestion. And he, you know, it was sort of a very snide sort of, you know, you're not that great. You needed to come to me for help. Sort of, it had that vibe about it. It was just very nasty. And so I approached him again. I said, well, you know, if you have a concern, or if you need to speak about something, we need to be very clear about this. And so I'm having a really difficult time with this person because I know that there white people are behind this. Like, white people are always to blame. So I know that white people are behind this, but at the same time, I'm getting very, very angry, and I don't want to have any conflict with this person when I don't really think it's his fault. So that's the issue that I have. Just sort of looking for suggestions on how to deal with the non-white Indian male. And also I had a situation with him where he is, where they practice racism against him by denigrating him. I think I've spoken about this on earlier workplace racism broadcast. And so I noticed something yesterday as well in another meeting. One of the other architects who's usually denigrating him and everything else, and I don't laugh when he does that, I noticed that yesterday he was very complimentary to him, and then he looks over at me to make sure that I'm watching this, and I was like, oh, okay, you're refining your racism. So, I mean, now he's sort of getting this very refined racism as a result of me not laughing at what's being done to him. So I think it's sort of lopsided, right? I'm trying to actually maintain and minimize contact, and he's trying to increase contact. Conflict, I'm sorry, not contact. I'm trying to minimize conflict. He's trying to increase conflict, and it's just becoming very problematic. So that's all I have, and I'll mute my line. Thank you.
How would you, I guess before we get, see if folks have suggestions, how would you be dealing with this situation if it were a white woman, a white man in this position instead of a non-white, non-black male?
Oh, with a white person, I would actually be a little more forceful than I am now. I would probably have gone to HR or have, probably would have gone to HR much earlier. I would definitely have minimized contact with this person a long time ago. I've actually given this Indian male a little more leeway because he's non-white, as opposed to what I would normally do with white people.
I do know some of our Cows listeners, they say, hey, I would function in the exact same way I would if a white person were in this position. I would do the exact same thing. And in fact, I know quite a few Cows listeners who would say, even if it was a black person who was doing this, I would do the exact same thing that I would do if a white person was doing this. At the end of the day, it is about incorrectness and stopping incorrectness, particularly anything where a non-white person or a black person is being mistreated. So I do know there's a sizable contingent, and I totally understand the logic there. I do not have opposition to that at all. The folks who say, hey, just follow the same code you would if it was a white person doing this. Listeners have suggestions on how you would handle this situation. Indian male who is, I guess, not being as courteous, being incorrect in how he's dealing with our tech person in Wisconsin. Folks have suggestions.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir. Retired firefighter.
Speak directly to that person. Obtain some personal space and speak directly to that person. Be calm. Show no anger or fear. You may have to practice it, but nevertheless, eventually do your best work into approaching that person directly. In most cases, it will cease and desist. In most cases, from my experiences, It will cease and desist almost immediately. It will do so. That's been my experience.
Got a text from Chantel. She said that she, for her project, the deadline was February 4th, and she got 80% of the project done by February 4th, and they wanted the whole thing completed by then. Other suggestions for how dealing with this non-white Indian male supervisor, coworker?
Yeah, be heard.
Yes, ma'am.
Greetings, Gus. Greetings to all the callers and listeners online. Excuse me. I had some other things that I wanted to speak on. If there's time, I will. But I'll just quickly say, first of all, Gus, I did get in touch with Technically Speaking, so thank you for that. And to our codified software developer in Wisconsin, first of all, I think that everything that you've done is, you know, awesome and codified as usual. The only thing that I would say, and I hope that this is not offensive to anyone, but this is just how I feel and what I believe, is that given the fact that this person is not black, you shouldn't even worry about even if that person gets fired for a couple of reasons. Number one, given that they're not black, they will have a much easier time finding another job, especially people classified as Indian, especially in the tech field. Another thing is that you are being bullied by a man, and you are being physically bullied by a man, where this man has threatened to physically harm you when he threw something at you. That is a threat to physically harm you. And when it comes to that, and if this man is going to go this far to physically bully a woman, then, you know, you shouldn't worry about anything. And I think you should deal with him in particular because of how far he has shown that he will go to intimidate you and to harm you and to mistreat you, that you should treat him like you would if he were a white person. And I think that it's really, I guess, all I can think of right now. And I really wish you the best. And I'm sorry that you have to go through this. And I'll mute my line. Thanks, Gus. Thanks, everyone.
For sure. Any other suggestions? Caller in Wisconsin. All right. Before I get other folks that we missed completely, we had a caller. She wrote in. She said, I asked my HR department for notices or guidelines to sexual harassment, and all she did was respond and send out a broadcast email stating, if we have any problems, don't talk to me, talk to your supervisor. I would for sure print that out, have that saved, put that in your documents. Continuing, I'm having problems with a few white coworkers. This white man, at this point, is coming on his days off to follow me around and watch. Whoa, immediately, like, that is way beyond just said something. I mean, if this person is coming on days off to follow you around, like, man, that's at the point, like, my hand would be at 911 ready to call the police. Like, that is, like, way over the top inappropriate, like beyond even, you know, going to a supervisor or manager. Like, you're not even here why are you even on the premises at this hour if you're not on the clock? That is, in my view, super, super, super dangerous, him being there where he's not even at work. Continuing, it's to the point where it's causing some PTSD. I can understand. They have been harassing me since I started here 2 years ago, but it's getting to the point where I'm being followed and they are sending white women to follow and brown nose me. I went down to the cafe during my lunch break and one of the sexual terrorists follows me and watches me from afar. I only know because I was talking to another black person and he told me there was some guy watching us. This black male is someone I usually see in passing, but I have noticed the terrorism gets worse when I'm seen talking to another black person, especially another black male. I clearly cannot speak to HR as she will route everything to one of the supervisors who is engaging in this terroristic behavior. I'm not sure what to do. I think I should take a leave of absence while I search for a new job. I'm not sure I have any better advice to offer if the situation is that toxic and you've been there for 2 years and there's wide collusion, it seems. If HR is, that's the HR response this day and time. Bill Cosby's retrial just started this week and they're talking Me Too every other day. And that's the response from HR. Don't talk to me, where you just asked a question. There wasn't an accusation or an indictment. You just asked a question about the policy. And the policy is, don't talk to HR. Like, wow, this might be an environment where, I mean, and you've got people stalking you while they're not even at work. Like, yeah, I cannot imagine this being an environment that, you know, would be one where you would want to stay for any longer than you already have. I think I would be trying to, I would be trying to protect myself and keep myself as safe as possible while I am there, and hopefully trying to make that time as short as possible. Do we have any folks who have any better offerings for this situation? Any suggestions? I would definitely have mace, something on my person for this sort of environment. Just, I mean, that's how seriously I would be taking it. Someone, I mean, that is all kinds of alarms and danger alerts, having a person who is actually not on duty there to track and follow your behavior, and it's that widespread. Like, yes, I would definitely have mace or some tactical pin, something. Do we have any suggestions beyond finding, updating resume, LinkedIn, and searching for better employment immediately? All right. Other folks that dialed in that we have not heard from at all, any folks that we've missed completely, have commentary that they wanted to share? Anybody we missed completely?
I was able to comment on someone's situation, but can I share some other things really quick?
I reckon. This is Emmy.
Much obliged. I did not get to hear Chantel's story or the whole situation, but in just, I kind of was able to glean what was going on. And one thing that I would just say, I guess kind of in general, and it might be applicable to her situation, maybe not, but I think anytime that we take a code or we do anything, but like the law is for every action, there's an opposite and equal reaction. I don't know if, you know, it's like on the verge of being fired or anything or just not getting the bonus. But, you know, money isn't everything. I'm not trying to say like you don't deserve the bonus or anything. And I'm not trying to say by not getting the bonus that that's not being mistreated. I'm simply stating that it might just kind of be a trade-off. And if, you know, like that's just kind of what it is. If I'm not super bubbly or in everybody's face, then I'm probably not going to get, you know, all of those extra things, like, a, you know, in which case I didn't get the bonus. It's okay. I'm still employed. It's fine. We can keep it moving because I come here to get paid and, you know, do what I'm doing. Again, I'm not saying that that's not you being mistreated. I'm just saying that I can see, you know, it kind of is one of those things. And in which case, like, finding just some understanding in it, like, well, it kind of is, like, not okay, but that's just kind of what it is. Like, I'm not out there doing what everybody else is doing all up in their face, so, you know. But that's just, I guess, a perspective thing. For me, I deal with it in a different context, I suppose, because I'm not in everyone's face or extra bubbly or out here trying to make all these friends and talk to everybody and all that kind of stuff. There are certain opportunities that I just don't get or don't have or anything like that just because I'm not putting myself out there as that type of person. Now, it's a different context because my main job really is school and my other job is just what it is. But, yeah, that was something I was thinking about. I wanted to share that I was at work and I work in a pharmacy. And there's two pharmacists, one who's Ethiopian, black Ethiopian, and another one who I used to consider non-white, but then who said he's classified as white, but he calls himself Egyptian. I just think he's an invader of that area, but whatever. So I just treat him like he's white. I was at work last week, and I told you all I kind of made a mistake and, like, and talking just a little bit too much. I didn't say anything that would be jeopardizing. I just revealed that maybe I'm not as ignorant as I like to play off, especially when I'm at work, when it comes to certain things. So I've been having to retrain him and myself, and like recodify, so to speak. So we're at work, and he just starts talking, and he says that, you know, he's never, like, in all his pharmacy time, the only people he sees suffer from such grave allergies, that's how he starts, it starts off as allergies, is white people. But then he stops and he clarifies, he says, well, European white people, not my type of white people. And I just thought, all of this confusion is fascinating. Now, usually in the past, I would have clammed up, so I was like, oh my God, I do not want to talk about this at work. No, just stop, like, I'm not ready, all of that, you know. But I've been retraining myself to be a little bit more strategic, more creative, more capable of having a little bit more fluidity in my code so that I can actually extract information without putting myself in any type of situation. And I can really just be, like, my code at first was just like, stop, no, you know, like that. But for me, that's not really working. I'm not saying it's not a great code for anyone else, but for me, I don't really like it. I like to not get white people talking, but if they are talking, let them talk and practice asking questions and still remain as professional with nothing about me compromised. So this was an opportunity for me to practice. And he starts just talking and he shares all this stuff about, you know, genetics and DNA, and he knows what I'm studying. So he wants to go into it, pretty much saying what I already know and what most of everybody on the cows knows, that white people genetically, you know, inferior, you know. So anyway, in which case they suffer from a lot of diseases and stuff like that. And then he even goes into the skin and everything. And then he even goes so far as to say that the strongest of all the strong is the blackest of all the black. And I just thought it was so fascinating, you know, because I've also watched this individual practice what I consider to be racism. In my presence, he's like, he definitely will double think, but you can tell he still will think like he may not want to deal with this person or may not want to treat them with the utmost respect that they deserve just because they're black or something. But you can see him like deal with it when I'm around. Now, I don't know how he is with the white female tech, but, you know, but I thought it was so interesting. So what I learned was, one, I'm capable of doing that. Two, it is dangerous because then they want to ask you questions, but you just have to be really smart and be able to have some type of like, well, that's really interesting, and flip it right back and just let them keep talking. And, you know, it was very interesting for me because, you know, I was just like, this is fascinating. You know, everybody knows what it is. Everybody knows what it is. And so that just made me kind of excited because it's like, you know, one day we will definitely establish justice. It's like scientifically impossible for us not to, given all this melanin glory that we got. So, but anyway, I wanted to share it just because I have modified my code, and so I like to update you all. And that is something that, like, now when it comes to him, I still treat him like he's white, which means I'm going to be very cautious. But I'm not going to do the whole, like, stop right there kind of thing. You can talk as much as you want to, white man. I'm listening. Anyway, so, yeah, I think that's all I wanted to share. So I do thank you all for listening. Oh, and actually, I did want to say this. Sorry. It's stressful being black. It's hard being black. And if there's any way that you can find some type of, not comedic relief, but like joy or like fun or excitement or like something, like turn the challenge into something more positive than just the drag, burdensome, just heaviness that it is, I think it's healthy mentally to be able to do so. You know, life is short, time is limited, we can be serious, and still, like, the sun can still shine. Thank you for listening.
Not in Seattle. Great suggestions. Extraction of information on the job, you definitely have to have control of your emotions, because if you're going to allow whites to talk, oh man, you got to be prepared to just sit back and listen calmly. Very, very interesting. Fascinating. Continue. And Dr. Welsing could do that brilliantly, just as cool as you please, not angry, not upset, just break it down. Let me hear it truthfully so I can, you know, get a better understanding of what we're talking about, get a better understanding of the problem. Let's see. Folks, we have not heard from at all. Our caller in Florida down at the courthouse. Are you with us, sir? Did you have
contact? Have you heard?
We can hear you. I was going to get our caller in Florida first.
Oh, okay.
Just trying to. Yep. I will make sure we get you too. Caller in Florida at the courthouse. Did you have commentary, sir?
Yes, sir. Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much, sir. Greetings to Gus, the host, the listeners, and callers. There were a few incidents I wanted to report. The first was there was a couple that came in. It was a cowbell, unfortunately. It was a black male, and I thought it might have been an anti-sexual thing, but apparently this was a white woman, I think. You know, she had the hair cut short, but she appeared to have been masculine, had a female voice, but it's very weird, like, well, not weird, but very confusing, I guess, sexually. And I guess they appeared to work at the same job. But, you know, the black male just looked very normal, but this person was doing all of the talking and setting all of the arrangements, I guess, for their planned ceremony. But, you know, this is what I would call a bottom tier white woman. And there has been a few of these occurring, unfortunately. And another thing I noticed, there was two white men that came in. One had this female haircut and a masculine voice. And was wearing a dress with some heels. And there was another white man that had on female clothing. And, you know, they were just walking in casually, coming to get a marriage license. And another trend is the name changes, where they can request a hearing to the courts to change their name. There was one white guy saying that he was having trouble, I guess, getting a job at the school board. So, you know, it's not too good for people sending their children to school and, you know, in the county or whatnot. But it's been even worse for black people coming back with, like, for things that happened 15 years ago. I think I mentioned this before, on having to pay extra money, you know, for the same documents that they sent off before. And I think this is racism, because everybody's like, well, she just paid for the same packet of stuff and she got to send it off again, and they're saying this is just not right, and everything has the proper certification, and you know, the victim has to keep paying all of these funds to obtain these copies, the same one, and just being tricked into seeds and whatnot. The next one was, I knew it was going to be some retaliation for what I had said in not this past meeting, but the meeting from coming into March last Friday. And I've been documented too, so I just wanted to report that, like, in the meeting, like, I was standing in front of the warden. I call her warden number one, and she was presiding over the meeting. And she brought up the subject of what to do in an act of shooting. Like, I don't know if anybody has had this mentioned on a job, like some kind of video. I don't know if, I guess this is being mandated to be brought into the workplace. She said, yeah, you know, we're going to bring in a video to show like a demonstration in regards to what should everyone do to evacuate if there were an active shooting to occur. It's going to be like a 3 to 4 minute video, and I could just sense something was gonna come up. So she used that to segue into talking about earbuds, like earphones. Okay, and I included many of the other coworkers around the office wear these earbuds, but she didn't speak in a generality really. She said, you know, well, I'm not just talking about anybody that's wearing them. You know, I just mean to speak on the people who can assist the customers throughout the day. And she said, all of our girls and boys, okay, I know boys is used in one of the calls. She said, girls and boys, and I know they assist the customers. So just make sure you just have on one earbud or something. Because if we do get a shooting, if we do get a shooter coming here, that's where they're going to aim at first. Okay. So I think this person was directing that at me. And I had my departmental supervisor, a black female. But, black people don't really control nothing. She turned and looked at me as though I was going to say something, because the same people in the meeting, they know I spoke out, but I didn't say anything. I just kept quiet and I let the lady finish. But I think that was directed at me because I haven't noticed anybody else really wearing too many earbuds, maybe one other person. But I think that was exclusively meant for me, and it almost kind of came off sounding like a either an indirect threat or something like that. Because I'm thinking, what does an act of shooting have to do with somebody wearing earbuds? And she said, well, just make sure you don't have on two earbuds if someone happens to approach you and try to converse with you. The average person knows not to have on earbuds if someone's standing in front of them. Okay, so I think she did that to get a reaction or a response out of me in the meeting atmosphere, like in that environment, to see if I could become defensive. And that, like, I wanted to talk about that one because it reminded me of when you said to be in control of your emotions. And I think I'm way in better control of my emotions now than about like maybe 3 or 4 years ago. But I had definitely jotted that down and emailed that form of documentation. And that's all I have for now. And thanks for allowing me to share.
We need to go to the courthouse, man. We could all get a PhD in racism. I had totally forgot about the whole marriage license aspect of it. And man, go to the courthouse. We should all just see if we can intern at the courthouse down in Florida for the summer. I am in agreement. I suspect that she probably did the white woman, race soldier. She probably did have you in mind specifically when she gave her whole commentary about that. I have no idea why an active shooter, their primary target would be girls and boys up at the front with the earbud. Why would that be the first place that they're going to shoot? Is our girls and boys with the earbuds. Like, I think she took, and it's been my experience that whites will do that sort of thing where they'll have a particular non-white person in mind, even though they don't mention them. They can be real slick with the wording and trying to provoke some sort of response. If you were able to see that even some of the other non-white people present were looking like, uh-oh, is he going to say something like, I strongly believe that, yeah, that was the plan. That was the setup. We'll see if we can get him riled up and we'll be waiting for him. And sometimes, as I've stated this many, many times, the best aspect of codification, you don't need to respond at all. You can just whip out the phone, Jonathan, girls and boys, continuing with the meeting. You don't even have to give them, you can just be silent the whole time. Just got my documentation, That does way more than responding or feeling like you have to jump up and down and give some sort of verbal retort every time they practice racism. They will wear you out with that. The caller, appreciate that caller in Florida. The caller who spoke up simultaneously, I think you might be on the vote line, sir. Did you want to go ahead? Thank you for being patient.
Hi, Edgar.
Yes, sir.
I'm a substitute teacher, and I was just listening to the archives when you said if anyone who's part of the book club is reading that book in class. Lo and behold, like, I walk into class, and it's an English class for middle schoolers for 6th and 8th grade.
What? For middle school? Whoa. Middle schoolers are reading The Hate U Give? You said 6th to 8th grade?
Yeah, 6th graders.
Wow. So 6th grade, we're talking 11 years old, right? That's what we're talking?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Any of our listeners, just think on that for a moment. Do you want your 11-year-old reading Angie Thomas's The Hate U Give that we're almost getting close to finishing tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific? Do you want your 11-year-old reading The Hate U Give probably with a white woman teacher? But we'll see what your story. I'm sorry for the interruption, but wow. Continue, sir.
Yeah, for this 6th grade class, there's two white female teachers, and they take turns teaching different subjects, so the kids will go over to the other teacher and then back to you, alternating subjects. And so I was just walking around. They have, like, these little literature groups with a class, and they have, like, 30 students just reading, like, 3 or 4 books. I don't remember the other books. But, so I was just supposed to monitor them and walk around. They're discussing. They have, like, categories. They have, like, little roles each of the pupils are supposed to have. Like, one of them is called a connector, where someone is supposed to connect dots in the story, so to speak, make connections between characters and events in the book. There's another role called discussion leader, where they're supposed to, you know, lead the discussion. There's another role called pictographer or something, where they're supposed to draw a picture of one thing in the book and something else. So some kind of role. So they each had, like, tasks to complete during reading. And in particular, I walked around and asked what they thought about the book, what was going on. And one of the little white girls asked what was going on in the book and what did she like about it or what was going on. And I don't recall this part yet in the HGIF. I'm not going to get any spoilers or anything, but it was something in respect to, like, one character not liking their dark skin or something. And she said that it was colorism, and that some dark skin people have issues with their skin. And she also mentioned that I didn't realize the characters' names at the time, but she was talking to another one. She was talking about Chris and the girl's name. I don't remember the name of the main girl.
Star.
How they had some sort of issue. I think it was actually, I don't remember. Some couple in the book, I think it was the main couple, how they had some sort of argument or something. They were talking about that. So that's what I remember for that one. And another observation was at my previous workplace, there was a box of diapers on sale, and they had, like, various ethnicities of babies marketed on the packages. And one of them was a picture of a black male infant, and his animal was a monkey on the box. And I pointed that out to lots of non-white people at the job when I was openly talking about racism on the job. And some of them were less confused, thought it was interesting. And another instance, I was talking with a black male in the break room about racism on the job. And we're pretty much just saying that how we still live in a white racially dominated system, that not much has changed in terms of the amount of racism that now white people face. And a white woman was part of the discussion, and she's like a young white lady. She was kind of liberal and progressive, and she considered herself, well, I gathered from the conversation that she considered herself kind of educated on race a little bit, and she didn't agree that it was as bad as it was. And I sort of went in on the conversation and just listed a lot of things to the point where she was crying in tears. And I just remember, like, white woman crying, just, it sort of just, she was practicing racism in the conversation, like she wanted to be a victim. And we don't have enough time left, but that's all I'll share. I'll move on.
The weeping white woman danger. Incidentally, work context or otherwise, I am never in the business of trying to prove racism or the intensity or severity of white supremacy racism. I have concluded emphatically, without doubt, whites are way more aware of the severity, success of their system than I am. They do not need me to give them the details. Ivy, did you have commentary that you wanted to share?
Yes, sir. Thank you. I wanted to say that right before Mr. Williams disqualified you for the definition, I kid you not, I was thinking instantly right before he said that Gus won. So I'm glad I got mad love for you, Renegade, but I'm glad you're disqualified. Let me see, what was the other thing? As far as your situation when you, about the rape thing, well, the person who told you that, they could have been lying. They could have just said that just to insult you, or they could have been telling the truth, and the woman could have said that to insult you. And maybe you could have had, I don't know, I think you said you documented it. Maybe you, if you did document it, you have to, like, build up a lot of comments before, I guess, you can sue or something like that, because that could have possibly been a part of a suit in terms of just, I guess, racism, because this person is saying that you would have raped her for, I mean, what other reason? I mean, and it could have been, you could have had a so-called sexist, which I don't believe sexism exists, but you could still use that because white people say it does. A sexist, suit or a racism suit, because, I mean, again, what did you do for her to say something like that? So you could say, well, the only thing she got is that I'm a male and that, or the color of my skin. And I think that when you spoke about that before on the program, it was on the Moments in White Supremacy episode, I believe, because I listened to that recently, and I recommend that episode to a lot of people because Gus was very transparent in that program, and he spoke about a lot of different, he shared a lot of different experiences with racism and his insights and things of that nature that he experienced, and I found it to be very informative. And the last thing I was going to quickly say is that for the woman in, I believe it was Virginia, who had the race soldier take back the credit, which they just set her up so they could take the credit away from her. Truth be told, I mean, true to form how I am, I'm really ticked off about that, because I tend to be very emotional. And I just wanted to ask, the credit that they took away from you, if you're still on the line, does that count toward, like, did they take half the money you would have got from that, or is there some sort of, other than just credit and verbal credit or even maybe even written credit, and I understand you're still ahead of her and that counts as well, ahead of her in some sort of category, but other than that, is there some type of monetary or some type of anything else, physical, I guess, or tangible, more tangible, that slicing your credit in half cost you? And I think that's all I had to know on my line. Thanks, Gus. Thanks, everyone.
For sure. Our caller in Virginia, are you still with us, ma'am?
Yes, I'm still here. No, it's just the way they track what we do, so I don't lose anything personally.
The white woman just gets over $250,000 for doing nothing.
Pretty much.
I totally forgot that I had solicited suggestions for my own personal situation. We covered so much, I lost track, and now we're at the three-hour mark, so I will honor what I said. Mr. Steele, I know he had a comment on that. Is anybody else, I think retired firefighter, I think he had, I know those two will get, I reckon I should nab anybody else who had a thought on that. You just can't take all day, be, you know, right to the point, see if you can be precise with your commentary on that one. So anybody else have commentary, suggestion on how they would have dealt with that situation? We can hear you, Mr. Steele. Mr. Steele, did you have commentary, or are you just listening? Did you want to get your suggestion in for Gus's situation?
Hey, yeah, just give me a minute. Just a second.
Okay, well, let's see if any other folks. Retired firefighter, did you have a suggestion for my situation?
Yes, sir. Okay. Police report.
Police report.
I think because... what this white female was speaking about, it can be considered to be a crime of some sort. So although I know, I'm sure that she was not telling the truth. She had some other kind of motives. I don't know what, but I don't think she was really afraid. Anything like that, and but nevertheless, I would get a police report on the subject matter. That's about the only thing I can think of. Thank you.
Police report. I had not thought of that. Give me one more, and then I'll check back with Mr. Steele. Did anybody else have suggestion for Gus's situation? No other folks. I didn't have commentary as well. I'd been thinking about it for a month now in terms of what I would do myself. Anybody else? I'll check in with Mr. Steele. Any other suggestions? Okay, I reckon not. Go back, Mr. Steele. That was a tough one, like I said, because I didn't hear it. It was different variables in that one. Mr. Steele, did you have a suggestion, sir? Are you able to speak now?
Yeah, regarding, you know, rumors of that matter, you know, that's pretty serious. I would find out where that rumor started, and I would bring the person who initially reported it to you and maybe one other witness to the rumor to Human Resources, and I would have them deal with it because that seems pretty serious to be lingering in the... in the workplace, to have that said about you, that just seems like a really hostile thing to allow to be just to be said about you. I think it's kind of similar to when you're told about when you're when there's a rumor about you being racist. I think that's something that, you know, you mentioned that you address immediately and you take very seriously. I think that, you know, a rumor of you being an alleged rapist or an attempted rapist, I think that that is something that needs to be taken up. And if that is a rumor that you can, you know, has been spread around the office by this person, I think that that's something that is worth, you know, taking up with Human Resources at the very minimum.
Agreed. Appreciate that. Make sure I did not, because it totally slipped my mind. Anybody else have suggestion? Right on. I'm sure you can listen to the archive and bring it up next week or compensatory call in. At any rate, we will be here tomorrow. The Hate You Give audio session or book study session number 6. We are closing on the finish line of the text. I don't think we have covered the section that the caller mentioned about the character. I don't even know who that would be. I had some guesses of the darker characters that I can remember from the book, but I don't think we've got to that section yet in the book. So maybe tomorrow. We'll stay tuned. But that's why we're reading this book, because so many Black students, Black children are being required to read this book, and then the movie is coming out later. That's why we're reading. We're not really reading this. Lord knows, I do not think it is aesthetically pleasing literature, but I do think it is very important in terms of studying to understand the confusion, lethal confusion that is being targeted on Black children with this text. The Hate U Give, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific tomorrow evening. Context of white supremacy. Thanks to all the folks who chimed in, participated. I hope it was of some constructive value, worthy of your time and energy on a Thursday evening. You can always write in the archives if you have suggestions or your own workplace situation. UntilJustice@gmail.com. UntilJustice@gmail.com. We can read your commentary on air and share it for next week. With that, thanks again to everyone who participated. Again, I will suggest, because it came up a few times during the broadcast, sobriety would be best under conditions of white supremacy. Even when you're out, if you have to do your once a month or once every other month office party, certainly you want to be sober there. And maybe any time under the system of white supremacy is not a good time for intoxicants. We need all of our mental faculties operating at maximum efficiency. We do not need any substances that are going to retard our thinking or in any way jeopardize us being able to make phenomenal decisions and come up with new concepts, ideas to solve the problem: racist man, racist woman, racist child. Certainly, if you're behind the wheel in a vehicle, you certainly want to be sober and buckled up, driver or passenger. Let's do everything we can to minimize contact with race soldiers, badge or no. That said, Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other Black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of Black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another Black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Context of white supremacy signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim,
your
brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
Hey, I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
Even my conditioning has been conditioned. Ah!